appreciate what you're doing for Quest. I have offered up that I want to do make sure we have a job training strategy in this city that I know Quest will be a part of. Thank you very much.
Your next speaker is Terry Silver. Terry Silver.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm Terry Silver. I'm at 7140 Gracefield Lane in Dallas, and thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. I'm a leader with Dallas Area Interfaith, and I'm here today to speak with you about the DME Exchange of Dallas. Every year, more than 25,000 Dallas residents are unable to afford wheelchairs, breathing equipment, hospital beds, and other medically necessary equipment that they need to return to safe, productive, and healthy lives. At the same time, we know many people and we hear many stories of people who have equipment that they no longer need because someone has recovered or passed away. This equipment is sitting gathering dust in attics and garages, or worse, it's being sent to our landfills. Dallas currently does not have a comprehensive solution for this problem. We need a facility that can accept donated equipment, bring it up to state standards, and distribute it to those in need. And that's exactly what the DME Exchange of Dallas intends to do. Unlike many health problems, this is a local problem and it's one that we can fix. I'm asking you today to appropriate $50,000 to the DME Exchange of Dallas to help us improve the quality of life of 25,000 Dallas residents a year. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, your next speaker is Richard Sheridan.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm here, City Council. My name is Richard Sheridan, live at 3022 Forest Lane, Dallas, Texas. Mayor Rowlands, I'm here to talk about jobs and redistricting. Two of the most important issues facing Dallas and cities across the nation are jobs and redistricting. John Smith, leader of the Jamestown colony in 1600, said that if you don't work, you don't eat. And it is certainly true that work is important to survival. But what does one do when there are no jobs? Mort Zuckerman, publisher of U.S. News & World Report, said in the McLaughlin Report recently that unemployment is near 20%, not 9%. Certainly unemployment is much higher in the minority communities where black unemployment is nationally is about 17% compared to the 9% claimed national average for all Americans. Unemployment is not good for crime, for the homeless conditions, for code enforcement, nor for a city's image and growth potential, nor for our material or spiritual condition. Burglaries and thefts are now near 90% of all Dallas crimes. Desperate people do desperate things. Dallas can do two things to cause increased employment of Dallas residents and maintain our city in a positive mode amongst all the doom and gloom. One is a Republican approach and one is a Democratic approach. The Republican way is to give tax credits and incentives to companies who employ the formerly incarcerated or the currently homeless. The Democratic way is to create a Dallas Community Restoration Corps, like a modern-day Roosevelt Civilian Conservation Corps. This local army of formerly incarcerated and homeless can address the blighted neighborhoods in Dallas, from addressing major code enforcement violations to flattening shacks and drug houses, to cleaning up parks, to helping our elderly clean up their yards. Our Dallas Community Restoration Corps would stop the bleeding and get Dallas out of the economic image. And how it can be paid for? Either by Dallas's wealthy or directly to the taxpayers, something like a Keep the Change for the Homeless and Jobless at 7-Eleven like we did during Katrina. Redistricting. It's a power struggle, a subtle or not so subtle manifestation of racism and political bipartisanship. The name calling is already started by a high profile elected official who should look in the mirror before he calls anyone a name. A major political family's name was in the news for the third time with 7 indictments for election fraud. A big name politician allegedly worked his redistricting maps behind closed doors. In one map, 2 city council members are set against each other. In the recommended map, 3 districts look like gerrymandering. Some district maps look like the 8th wonder of the world. Mayor, I'm asking you to remove the redistricting process from City Hall as part of the reformation and exorcism of politics in Dallas. Because if you don't, we're going to see negativity like never seen before and mudslinging never seen before in our city. Please remove the redistricting process from City Hall. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Sheridan.
That concludes the speakers this morning.
Thank you. I appreciate, Mr. Sheridan, you bring up the subject of redistricting. I've been doing some thinking on this subject, and now's as good a time any to talk a little bit about it. I've reviewed what our commission has done. I want to say thank you to that commission. It worked very hard, very professional, spent 6 months of its life working. I believe that the transparency was there. And if you look at the voting records of each of the folks around that commission, I think they said what they needed to say publicly and followed those things. So I appreciate it. But that's the commission. Now it's us. Now it's going to be us that get to make this decision of how we move forward. So I think we need to continue that strategy of transparency. So to do that, what I'd like to, what I'm going to call is a special meeting on Saturday the 24th, which is a week from Saturday, at 10 o'clock. The purpose of that meeting is to do two things. One is to anybody that makes an amendment to any map, I would like that person to present that amendment and the rationale for that. If there are any other maps that want to come to be there, be shown by a city council person, not by somebody else, that would be the time to do that. If someone's going to make a motion for approval of a map, I want to make sure that their rationale is articulated at that time. It will also give us a chance to have a public comment on it. I'm purposely putting it on Saturday, so if anybody works, allows them to come in and do that. I know it takes time from city council, it takes staff time, and the media is actually going to have to work on the weekend. And to be able to do that, I think we're going to be able to listen and get to what you want to accomplish. Backing up, I expect amendments to be done this Friday, as I said. So anybody that's got amendments, have them on Friday. If you learn anything from those amendments that need to be tweaked, we'll get you the date for next week, but I think it'll be end of day Tuesday for staff to have a chance, because I want to be able to get any map out to the public in time for them to study. This Friday is a big day, next Saturday. Then we will take the next week to prepare for the final vote, and we will take the final vote on the redistricting on October 5th. On October 5th, the Wednesday of that day, which is not usually a voting agenda meeting. It is a briefing meeting, but it should be a short meeting. We can spend the time doing that. So that's the process that I want to go about. Look, each of us are going to make our own decisions about how we want to do this. This is the voters have given us the ability to do this. I'm proud about how the city does it. I think it is a step up from what happens at times in Austin and other places. We've got a good commission that has worked on it. But each of us now must examine our options and decide where we stand on those things. I, for one, as a city council member and not as a mayor, am studying the maps. Don't be surprised if I have a map that I want to put in on Friday. My two big issues are tightness and on minority representation. And I think there may be better ways that we can accomplish those two things. So I'll be studying those maps, and I may be putting something forth too. So we'll do that. We'll do it in a very transparent way. We'll listen to each other. We'll vote, and we'll do the right thing, I believe, in the long run. So thank you very much on that. Ms. Rios?
Mayor.
Yes, Ms. Phil.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, thank you for the opportunity for a Saturday meeting. However,
because the Saturday meeting is so close, some of us have probably made arrangements for other activities that it would be more difficult to change. I wonder if you would consider a different time, perhaps
Saturday.
Moving it to the evening, possibly.
I'm open to that.
Most of us have made, if we made plans here, daytime plans.
I'm fine with that. Is evening better than during the day? I just want to have it on a Saturday. That's all I was saying.
Excuse me, are we going in order here?
You know what? We should be, and I apologize.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'm going to be out of town at the Black Coffee. That is next weekend. That Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and returning on Sunday. And I think all the council members here, and I made those arrangements about 3 months ago.
Well, I'm going to have to kind of do a straw poll, maybe offline, about seeing who's here or who's not. We may not be able to have everybody. I'd like to have everybody. But I just realized that we need to have a public discussion on this item, and I think it needs to be on a weekend. As I look at the calendar, we've got, we potentially could do it on a weeknight, but later that week. I'm gonna have Paula get with each calendar, and we'll just try to work something out to figure out what the best date is. I recognize this throws a curveball, but if we can get a quorum, have a discussion, listen to people, then we can go on. So, Mr. Fairway. Oh, Michelle, do you have anything else to say?
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor. And Mr. Davis, I apologize for coming in line ahead of you. It was to speak to the time that the mayor had.
Okay, Mr. Fairway.
And I'll just try to say that in taking on a redistricting, if we were to move a meeting later in the evening, it would then go and interfere into the night. It is not said that this meeting would be an hour or would be 2 hours. It could very well go into the night, which would then interfere with Saturday night activity. So let's take all that consideration. But whatever it is, I'll be considering.
Thank you. Mr. Allen?
I appreciate that, Mayor, being open to changing. I know Councilman Cadena and I, we already have an engagement that day. So, and even if it is, most of the time we've already set aside either the Mondays, the Wednesdays, and such. So I know we want as many people as possible to be here, but that's the nice thing about media also, that they can at least observe the transparency. So I look forward to working the calendars out.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Let's move on to the minutes. Do we have a motion? Some move.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor, if I may please clarify for the record that you will be approving minutes of the August 24, 2011 City Council meeting. Thank you.
We had a motion, and Mr. Jane seconded. Any additions, edits, comments? All in favor say aye.
Mayor.
Any opposed?
Mayor.
Ms. Grayson, I've
button.
There you go. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. On one of the agenda items, the zoning case that we had last time, the downtown special provision sign district, I believe that Ms. Hunt made two changes, and I only see one of them reflected here. But she isn't here, so I couldn't ask her about it. But I believe that she made two changes. One, that no video boards and no photographic signs would be permitted on building facades that face Main Street Garden or Bevo Garden. And I thought she also made a change that no video boards or photographics would be by churches downtown. That seemed to be my recollection. No?
Are you sure?
I remember her saying something about Thanksgiving Square and applying that to other religious institutions downtown. But since I have that question and she isn't here to answer it, I was wondering if we could just kind of hold that until Ms. Hunt gets here and we could ask her about it.
We'll defer it if everyone's okay with that, and then we'll pick that up in the next. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. I'll try to remember. I lost my screen here. Okay. Let's move. move to the consent agenda, items 2 through 58. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Why don't you tell us what we pulled and what we're voting on?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You have for your consideration on the regular consent agenda items 1 through 58 and your addendum agenda 1 through 8. Pulled for individual consideration is item number 31 by Councilmember Grayson. Item number 50 is pulled due to conflict of interest by Mayor Rawlings. Those are basically the two items that have been pulled that are considered for individual consideration.
Do we have a motion? Do we have any amendments?
I understand there might be one for number 18.
No, you want to consent?
Yes. We're trying to clarify what items are being pulled for individual consideration.
Was there going to be a motion to delete item 18?
No, I had a motion to remove 13 from the consent agenda and to defer for the turn
number 18.
To 18?
Yeah.
Okay. Please remove item number 18 from the consent agenda. The city attorney will bring this item back at a later date.
Thank you. Therefore, items number 18 and item number 31 and item number 50 are pulled for individual consideration.
We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Mr. Allen?
I was just curious why they weren't on this already. I thought we were going to have this in advance if they were being pulled.
The item 18...
Item 18 was a legal issue, and the attorney just brought to our attention this morning.
Okay, so... Okay. You're right, Mr. Allen, by the way. All right, so we're okay on the consent agenda. Let's move to items for individual consideration. Ms. Rios.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If I may clarify, did the council vote on the consent item?
Yes.
Councilmember Allen
yes.
had a question.
No, we voted and then he asked the question afterwards.
I appreciate that. Item number 18 is authorized settlement of a claim filed by Maria Cardenas, claim number 08208894. It's item number 18.
We deleted that.
So the motion was to defer the item?
No, not to defer, to delete it.
To pull it.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. So item number 18 will be considered at a future agenda meeting?
Yes.
Thank you.
You said that.
Thank
you. So I think you got it right.
Item number 31 is ratify an emergency cleanup of a hazardous material dump site at 1539 Round Table Drive. Councilmember Grayson pulled the item.
Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm voting in favor of this. I just wanted to comment. This is an item having to do with a hazardous material dump site that we're paying to have cleaned up. But what I want people to know is that we have found out who dumped and abandoned these containers, these 41 barrels with unknown hazardous material substances in them, and that we're going after the people who did this to recover the cost of cleaning this up. So I just want people to know that if they think about dumping stuff, that we do try to find out who that is, and when we go after them to recover the money that it takes to clean that up. So I just wanted people to be aware that they shouldn't feel free to just dump things and think that we don't try to recover the cost, go after them. Thank you.
You're absolutely correct. I guess I would want to add to that is that we're not just going after the thieves. The individuals that were responsible have been filed on a third class felony. They're being prosecuted. And so they've already been arrested. The person was arrested. They're being prosecuted. And as part of that prosecution, they will be looking for that restitution.
Thank you, Mr. Gonzalez. I just wanted the public to know that they shouldn't feel real comfortable about just throwing things wherever they feel like throwing them and expect that we're going to clean it up and pay that money. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Davis.
Can you come back up, sir?
Ms. Brinson, thank you for bringing that up. Because in certain parts of my district, and I think all of our districts, we have people who are doing illegal dumping. And the city will come out and cut some of these vacant lots. And then someone, I guess they do it over in the night, will dump almost the whole house on a vacant lot. So can we just continue to monitor that process and see?
Sure.
And this is with the Marshal Department, right?
In this particular case, it was the Marshal's office. And some of the other cases that you're talking about, it becomes a matter of code enforcement. But because this one had a situation with regards to hazardous materials,
okay,
it got into this other criminal investigation.
Yeah, and so, and code doesn't have to come up, but we just need to continue to monitor that. I'm glad that she brought the facts up that we're going to prosecute these individuals. And I know code has found some individuals dumping in certain parts of our district, especially in the South Dallasville Park proper. What the neighborhood is trying to keep that community clean. People are now trying to keep it clean. And it is so unfair that people just come over in a neighborhood like that and say, well, it's South Dallas, I'm going to dump. And so we need to continue to monitor that, and I do appreciate that.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway.
Thank you. And in short, Ms. Grayson and AC, one of the other, it is very important, and I'm very appreciative of you keeping it on point to the public that we will not tolerate the dumping, and that we will find you, and we will penalize you to the fullest, and it will go beyond just the amount of the fine, but to include attorney fees and every other fee that we can think of should go to the dumpster. Let me also say that we have cameras that we're putting up that are hot spots and dumping areas and all of that. That is something that I truly continue to support, and that so folks need to know that if you dump it, we're going to find you and dump back on you. So just like I say, don't mess with Texas, and I'm saying don't dump on Dallas. So that's what we're going to do, is just don't dump on Dallas. And if you dump on Dallas, Mayor, we're going to make sure that the fine follows you. So thank you for that.
Mr. Cadane moved approval. We have a second. Mr. Atkins, any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We proceed now to item number 50. Mayor Rawlings, you have a conflict. For the record, Mayor Rawlings is stepping out of the council chamber. Item number 50 is an ordinance abandoning a portion of a garbage collection and utility easement to Thomas D. Carroll and Jennifer Carroll, the abutting owners, containing approximately 3,004 square feet of land located near the intersection of Newbridge Lane and Gaywood Road, and providing for the dedication of approximately 4,313 square feet of land needed for the expansion of a backyard area. We need a motion.
I need a motion. We have a motion by Mr. Atkins. We have a second. Second by Mr. Cadane. Discussion. Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Will you let the mayor know this?
Mayor Rawlings may now return to the council chamber. We proceed now for your regular items for individual consideration. Item number 59 is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. For your consideration for council action, you have to the Animal Shelter Commission, Molly DeVos, nominated to fill the general public position by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. To the Board of Adjustment, Sharon Boyd is nominated to fill panel C by Councilmember Alonzo. To the Cultural Affairs Commission, Daisy F. Stafford is nominated to fill the interested citizen category by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. To the City Plan and Zoning Commission, you have Emma S. Rogers, nominated by Councilmember Cadane, Myrtle M. Lavalese, nominated by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins, Gloria M. Tarpley, nominated by Councilmember Cadane, Julian A. Bill Peterson, nominated by Councilmember Hunt. To the Dallas Citizens Pollution Review Board, you have Joseph D. Hart, nominated by Mayor Rawlings. To the
Judicial Nominating Commission, Justin Harrison is nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. To the Landmark Commission, Joyce A. Strickland is nominated to fill the Citizen at Large category by Councilmember Hill. To the South Dallas Fair Park Trust Fund Board, Pat Harrington is nominated to fill the Community Development category by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. Those are your nominees this morning.
We have a motion and second on item number 59. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We proceed now to item number 61 and 62. Those are designated public subsidy matters. I'm required to read the following statement into the record. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. These items do require two votes. Item number 61 is authorized the first...
In 2 seconds.
2 seconds, thank you. Item number 61 is authorized the first of 4 12-month renewal options to the grant agreement for the World Affairs Council of Dallas-Fort Worth for Economic Development and Protocol Services for the period October 1, 2011 through September 30, 2012.
There's another second. Okay. We have a motion, 2 seconds. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 62, also requiring 2 seconds, is authorized on-site reconstruction of 7 homes in accordance with the requirements of the Reconstruction Share Program Statement for the properties located at 3202 Bill Harris Street, 3301 Chihuahua Avenue, 12130 Schroeder Road, 350 Bonneville Road, 2651 Moffitt Avenue, 1502 Oakley Avenue, and 2414 Barden Drive, each in the amount of $93,400. Total amount not to exceed $653,800.
Do we have a motion? Second, do we have another second? Okay. The motion, 2 seconds. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We proceed now to your addendum items for individual consideration. Item number 9 is a resolution amending Section 9 of the City Council Rules of Procedure to establish the Arts, Culture, and Libraries Committee as a standing committee of the City Council.
You want a job? Any discussion? I will say that I am very excited about how excited the citizens are about reestablishing this. I'm getting great feedback from people, and whether it's on arts, culture, or libraries, people are engaged. So it sounds like you've got a lot of folks that are interested in what you're going to be doing, Ms. McGrillan. All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 10 is a resolution to amend the 2011 city calendar to, number 1, add the city council retreat scheduled for October 20th and 21st, 2011, and number 2, reflect the city council's updated committees and their meeting dates.
Ms. Atkins and Mr. Dane. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 11 is a resolution to amend the 2011 city calendar to cancel the city council briefing meeting scheduled on September 21st, 2011.
Okay, we have Michelle. You folks.
Okay.
Here we go. Ms. Margolin.
Is it possible to move the meeting that you wanted to have, the redistricting meeting, to that day?
It's going to be difficult. Let me explain. Well, I'm going to be out that day. I'm going to be out that day. The I kind of already looked at that.
All right.
Yeah. There's a few of us out that day. let's just spend a moment. Well, let's get this through first. Now, before we take a vote, let me explain this. What we're saying with this vote is we're going to get our budget work done on Monday. Any briefings, any discussion, any questions, we won't need to come back on Wednesday. So that's what we're doing. To do that, as I said, Mr. Grano is pulling together amendments. I've not been hearing a lot of them, and they're supposed to be done by tomorrow. Okay? So that was the calendar that we laid out. So if there's work to be done, please let's get that done, because on Monday, that's when we start to, the concrete starts to dry on the budget. Is everybody clear? Okay. All in favor say aye. Oh, I'm sorry to you, Ms. Davis. Always vote is here.
Thank you so much.
All right.
On the budget and on the amendment, are we going to also do the straw vote as well on Monday?
That's what you'd be doing Monday. And if it's possible to get a consolidated amendment, that makes it go easier as well. That was what you're going to work with Mr. John on.
Okay.
And if you need any other information from us as staff about costs or anything like that, let us know.
Mary, last year we had money left over after we paid all our bills, and then we put the straw vote. Any additional leftover money?
That's what you're doing
on the 19th.
It's actually a revenue projection, but it's more revenue than I projected when we brought you the city manager's recommended budget. Turns out we've got more franchise revenue. So that money, that $1.7 million that was in that memo, that if you want to do some extra things.
And I will, Mr. Caraway and I and Mr. Atkins have something that we want to add to the straw vote, but I need a copy of these. Do we have the culture, arts and culture breakdown of who's going to get what?
No, because the commission defines that. But we can visit, I'll visit with you in a minute about that in detail.
And so anything you want to do, please get to Ms. Medrano by tomorrow. Okay? All right. No other discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor, would you please clarify? I've got Council Member Hill to make the motion. I didn't clarify who had the second.
Mr. Atkins.
Thank you very much.
Okay. All in favor say aye once again. Aye. Any opposed? Okay, motion is carried.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We need to go ahead and go back to the minutes.
Yes.
I understand that Council Member Grayson had an inquiry about the motion made by Council Member Hill on an agenda.
Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah, I clarified that with Ms. Hunt, and although she did mention Thanksgiving Square specifically, the other portion of it she did not mention. So we're good.
Okay. So let's...
I do have a motion and a second.
You have a motion and a second.
The motion was made by Council Member Atkins and seconded by Council Member Grayson.
Thank you. Any other discussion? All in favor of approving the minutes, say aye. Any opposed, motion is carried.
Thank you. That concludes the items before we listen.
Ms. McGowan.
Thank you. We have a birthday to celebrate today that actually is a birthday from July, but since we don't want to leave any of our council members out who have July birthdays because we're not in session, today is the day that we have set aside to celebrate Delia Hasso's birthday. And so may I happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Medina. Happy birthday to you. There will be cake. Ms. Grayson.
Well, by coincidence, we are also going to celebrate Ms. Hill's birthday today, which actually isn't until the 23rd, but because of next week and Ms. Hill not being here, we're going to celebrate Ms. Hill's birthday today, so I think now we need to sing to Ms. Hill, and there will also be cake. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. You know, what I thought we could do after the public meeting is also go to choir practice. I'm not
do.
Well, I'm not sure we're there yet, okay?
Are you saying the quality of our singing is not what it needs
yes,
to be?
Yes, I think that's what I'm saying.
Mr. Mayor, I want the council and the public to know I'm 63 years old and silent.
Oh, well done. Well done. And look good. Ms. Medrano.
I wanted to make sure that the whole city is aware of a award that Love Field, the Love Evolution, received as a nationwide marketing award, and Love Field received second place in that national award for their Love Evolution at Love Field. So we'll make sure that we recognize Love Field and this award.
Thank you, Mr. Drano. And lastly, this morning, one of the benefits/responsibilities that the mayor has is to stay safe in this. And to make sure that we are safe, the police department provides some escorts for mayors in history. We have one individual that has worked and is retiring today. So, Mr. Sawyer, Herman Sawyer, would you come up here? Come here, Herman.
Love. mayor, council, city manager, all city employees, and the citizens of Dallas. Thank you.
Morning meetings adjourned. We'll pick it up at 1 o'clock this afternoon.
Meeting recess at 9:57.
It is 1:05. The City Council meeting for Dallas, Texas, Wednesday, September 14, 2011, will reconvene for our afternoon agenda. A couple of housekeeping items. We have several people, several meaning more than a handful, signed up for item number 73. Okay, I want to make sure that what we're going to do there is take 10 minutes on each side on those items to listen to everybody. So I'll just ask you in the interim to make sure you're together, figure out how you want to use that 10 minutes. You can have 10 people speak for 1 minute, or, you know, 3 people speak for 3.5 minutes. I don't care how you want to do it. Just get organized on that. The second item is 77. How many speakers do we have out there for 77? You planning on? Just please raise your, you don't have to leave. You don't have to come down. Just raise your hand. Okay, so we'll just do that in a regular fashion. It's just 73 is the part that we need to get organized about. Is that right? Okay. With that, Madam Secretary, do you want to read our first action item?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You have for your consideration on the zoning consent items number 63 through 72, and then on your addendum zoning consent, you have items 12 through 17. Item number 63 has been pulled by Councilmember Alonzo. Item number 65 is pulled because it requires a three-quarters vote. Item number 66 has been pulled by Councilmember Hunt. We also have a speaker signed up for that item. Item number 67 has been pulled by Councilmember Griggs. Item number 65 has been pulled as it requires a three-quarters vote. Item number 72 is pulled by Councilmember Hunt.
You did item 65 twice.
So we have 65 and number 66 and 67.
Right.
And then item number 69 and then item number 72.
69, you said 65, I guess.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate that. And then item number 72 is pulled by Councilmember Hunt. We also have a speaker on that item. On your addendum zoning, item number 12 has been item number 12, 13, and 14 have been pulled up by Councilmember Hunt. And addendum items number 15, 16, and 17 have been pulled by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. Therefore, your consent items, when considered, will consist of item number 64,
okay,
item number 68, number 70 and number 71. I will read those items into the record. Individuals will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. When you come up to the podium, please state your name and address for the record. You will address your comments to Mayor Rawlings.
Okay. Before we go, Ms. McGrath.
Yes, Madam Secretary, on 68, you have a speaker indicated here?
The speaker of the council.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And then what I'd like to do is hold item 73 for the last agenda item to be considered. Okay?
Yes.
If you'll do that. Okay?
Thank you. So for your consideration is item number 64 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a D1 liquor control overlay and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store use of greater than 3,500 square feet on property zoned a CRD community retail district with a deed liquor control overlay on the northeast corner of Garland Road and Jupiter Road. Item number 68 is a public hearing
and an ordinance granting an amendment to specific use permit number 1824 for an open enrollment charter school on property zoned an RR Regional Retail District on the west line of South RL Thornton Frontage Road, south of West Keith Boulevard. Item number 70 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a restaurant without drive-in or drive-through service on property zoned an NOA Neighborhood Office District on the east line of Hillcrest Road, south of Lyndon B. Johnson Freeway. Item number 71 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise store of less than 3,500 square feet on property within Planned Development District number 777 for NSA Neighborhood Service District uses with D1 liquor control overlay on the south corner of South Beltline Road and Garden Grove Drive. Again, individuals are allowed 2 minutes to speak. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the items that were read into the record? Any speakers in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the items? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Hearing none, I will entertain a motion for approval. And second?
Second.
Mr. Kedane?
Any comments? Well, I was going to comment on item, which is running on item 64, and I wanted to ask David Coffin a question on it, if I could. David, this is just for package liquor, beer, and wine within the facility, correct? The Fiesta itself and not sold from the gasoline service area. It cannot be sold outside the premises, and it's also beer and wine only.
Yes, sir.
Not hard liquor.
Yes, that was the way that it was amended.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kedane. Any other comments, questions?
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor, would you clarify for the record, please, to make the motion and the second? I didn't catch that.
I thought it was Ms. Coop and somebody over here. Mr. Kedane.
I appreciate that, thank you. Mr.
Kedane, yeah. All right, hearing no other discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Okay, we proceed now to item number 63 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting an amendment to and an expansion of Planned Development District number 370 for IR Industrial Research District uses, a group residential facility and overnight general purpose shelter on property zoned Planned Development District number 370 and an IR Industrial Research District on the northwest corner of Calvert Street and Irving Boulevard.
Mr. Mayor, we've sent 20 notices to property owners within 500 feet of their request. We received no replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Go ahead.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in opposition of CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Again, please state your name and address for the record.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, my name is Michael Coker, 2700 Swift Avenue, Dallas, Texas, representing the Union Gospel Mission. And with me, I have Bill Thompson, the executive director of the mission. We're glad to answer any questions that you might have.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
Excuse me, can you state your name and address for the record, ma'am?
Jay Hopkins, 6030 Monticello, Dallas, 75206. I live in District 14. I ask you to vote yes on this. Thank you.
Any other speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I entertain the motion, Ms. Lanza.
Thank you, Mr. I wanted to make a motion to approve this item, and I wanted to thank everybody for coming, and I understand that they're present, so I wanted to recognize the, them as well as look forward to working with them. So I ask the council to move approval.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion or the questions? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. Item number 65 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a D1 liquor control overlay and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store use of less than 3,500 square feet on property zoned a CRD community retail district with a D liquor control overlay on the southeast corner of South Lancaster Road and East Ledbetter Drive.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 7 notices to property owners intending to see their request. Received 1 reply in favor and 1 reply in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in favor? Sir, please state your name and address for the record.
Yes, ma'am. This is Parvez Malik of Business Zoom. I'm the representative of this application.
Thank you.
In favor.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank
you. He gave it to me.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. I entertain a motion, Ms. Medrano.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to, on Mr. Atkins' recommendation, I'd like to move to close the public hearing and approve item 65 for the city, for the staff and city plan commission's recommendation.
We have a second. Thank you, Ms. Hassa. Mr. Cadane?
Yeah, David, maybe the mayor can answer. Why do we need a three-quarter vote on this?
You think the mayor can answer this question?
I don't think the mayor can answer it. Maybe David can. I thought they were changing. The staff and CPC both approve it. I was wondering why it takes a three-quarter vote.
Because we did receive opposition from more than 20% of the populace with the street. Apologize, I missed out and didn't know the record.
It's got a purpose of the meeting.
Okay.
Because you said 20% of the population.
20% of the people within the area of notification have rejected. In this case, it represented one adjacent property.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Cadane. So we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion, questions? So we need to do a push button vote here.
No,
oh, I'm sorry. All in favor say aye. Is there any opposed? All right, motion is carried. Number 2. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, we're proceeding to item number 66, the public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a late hours establishment limited to an alcoholic beverage establishment for a bar, lounge, or tavern used on property within Plan Development District number 842 for a serial community retail district uses on the east end of Windsor Avenue, north of Prospect Avenue.
So who's catching me unprepared today? It's an 18 notices copy has been turned through the old request, received 9 reply in favor and 1 reply in opposition.
We do have one individual that has signed up to speak, Bruce Richardson. Bruce Richardson.
Good afternoon. My name is Bruce Richardson, 5670
307 Heavenly Constructions Building, Richmond Avenue 75206. I'm here to speak on behalf of the Lois Greenville Neighborhood Association. You know the names of them by now, so I won't repeat them into the record and others seven times. We support, actually, the application of this operator to operate these space. However, there is a single outstanding issue, which is that we believe that the building that houses this use is now without Delta credits, which is a different condition that was not confirmed at CPC. I believe it is confirmed now. 10 parking spaces is what is required for this use. We think it is very, very critical to the success and the accountability of this process that this body takes the time, as each case comes forward, to ask and be told, where is the parking located? Can we mark it? Can we get all the signage in place? Can we comply completely with the controlling codes for parking in this district so that we can begin to repair what is a situation that resulted after years and years of non-compliance on parking? There were a lot of choices when we entered this exercise to create a district whereby we would regulate late night use. One of our choices was licensing. We had other public choices available to us. The neighborhood groups supported this choice, the SUP process, because of the requirement that each applicant adhere to all zoning codes and regulations, that they prove to you that they will comply with all zoning codes and regulations. Now, we have a good applicant here. We have someone we want to support, but we have had issues with the underlying property owner and illegal land use, operating commercial parking uses without certificates of occupancy, oftentimes on top of the parking spaces that are to be allocated for their uses. So we need this body to be the enforcement arm in this case. That's why we supported an SUP process. And so I leave you with that. Again, we support this operator. We're happy to have someone of this quality coming in. We need the property owner to allocate the parking and to tell us exactly where it is. Thank you so much. Thank you, Mr. Richardson.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Roger Albach, 3301 Elm, representing the applicant. I'll be very short because, as you indicated, the planning commission has recommended approval. Let me address just the issue of parking because I think that's the only outstanding issue. As of yesterday afternoon, I received, as did the applicant, from other folks, an email from David Coffin regarding parking for this building, and in fact it does not say that there are no Delta credits for the entire building. It is talking about another tenant in the same building. Specifically says for this applicant that obviously she needs to go through the building inspection process, submit a site plan of her site, any expansions, etc., and as with anyone else's application for a certificate of occupancy, that will be handled in building inspection as it should be, which we will do if necessary. There is available off-street parking, which can be provided, but again, that's an issue that will be resolved at the building inspection process. So as we stand before you today, we are in compliance, and there is no outstanding issue. We'd ask you to follow planning commission recommendation. I'll be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? That's all the speakers this evening.
Thank you. I will entertain a motion to approve. Mr. Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a question to staff before making a motion, if I may. Ryan, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions first. We discussed the parking issue. And so separating out the specific use permit for late night use from the certificate of occupancy for a late night use, tell me what's involved in getting the CO for the late night use.
There's two processes here. There's the actual zoning that you're going through today, and you're contemplating whether or not you want to pass an SUP for the late night use. After that process, assuming that you pass the late night use, then the planning department, the building inspection, actually will lift it to determine whether or not they meet all the qualifications for a CO, and that's a separate process.
And in having to meet all of the qualifications for a CO, will they have to meet parking requirements?
Yes, they will have to meet parking requirements.
Will they have to indicate where their parking is located?
Yes, they will.
And let me get David up here for just a second. David, while you're walking up, is that your understanding? As part of the CO process, you're going to have to vet the...
Yes, ma'am. As part of the CO process, we require the applicant to present a floor plan of the facility. In addition, we require the parking analysis. Parking analysis should show where any required parking has been provided. If there's parking agreements in place, those need to be represented as well. And in this particular instance, we've not concluded that they have forfeited their vessels on this particular site, since the modified vessel overlay that covers this area says you forfeit your vessels with extension of the use. So in this instance, it's not clear that Single Ride has ever expanded the use just within the existing new space.
So you're undertaking that analysis now?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And when the field inspections take place, if there's an addition, for instance, of a cooler at the back, mm-hmm. or anything of that nature, then that would basically mean they've expanded the use and they have forfeited their vessels.
Now, I've heard two different positions on this, and mm-hmm. you made the point that a variance from a board of adjustment can be sought in relation to parking. Now, you've told me that cannot happen,
but I want to
nail that down.
The provisions of the modified vessel overlay do not allow the board to consider an exception to the parking requirements for that use.
If they have Delta credits, or just because it's in the Delta overlay?
Just because it's in the modified vessel overlay.
Okay, so I want to make absolutely sure that what you just told us is mm-hmm. the rule, the law of the land. So will you please double check this?
We can absolutely double check it.
Let's have our attorney look at this today before we leave, so if we need to bring this back up, we can. But I just want to be very clear.
I understand.
If someone within the modified Delta overlay area wants a variance for parking, they are not allowed to seek it from the Board of Adjustment. Okay, so let's double check that. In the meantime, Mr. Mayor, I'm going to move to approve the CPC recommendation for agenda item number 66.
Thank you, Ms. Pence. We have a second. We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion questions? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 67 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1624 for an industrial outside not potentially incompatible use for a concrete batch plant on property zoned in IR Industrial Research District on the northwest corner of Commerce Street and Manila Road. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Excuse me.
You want to report here?
The exact wording within the modified vessel overlay is that the Board of Adjustment may not grant a special exception for required off-street parking in this district. However, that does refer exclusively to a special exception which doesn't require hardship, but it doesn't. I think the attorneys have concluded that would not preclude them from asking for a variance to the parking requirements, which of course then requires the demonstration of a physical hardship on the property and all that. Now, as again, the precise wording only speaks of exception and not variance. So they can't go after an exception just because they can't meet the parking. They'd have to request a variance if they chose to do that and prove up the property hardship.
All right, so this is suspending for Amendment 67. You got an answer to that in this hand.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thanks for letting us interrupt this agenda item.
Sorry.
So to be clear, a special exception is not permitted, but variance is. And
I think that's the conclusion of the attorney's office, that a variance, given the precise wording of the ordinance, special exception, that they could ask for a variance, yes, ma'am.
And so there is some tenuous legal argument that there's a difference between a special exception and a variance. Okay.
Yes,
I want to make clear to the folks who are applying on Lower Greenville for these late night permits, I discourage you from going to the Board of Adjustment on these parking issues. We're going to try to get these resolved through staff and get this taken care of, but I think it's a bad idea for us to start reducing parking in an area that already has parking issues. So I'm just going to ask our applicants for that, and I'm assuming that you're going to be good for that, as I'm proposing that we pass these things. So I just want to let you know that that's the deal. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Hunt. We'll come back to item 67 in red. Do we have any speakers?
Are there any speakers in opposition of item number 67 that was read into the record? Any speakers in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Please state your name and address for the record, sir.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, my name is Peter Kavanaugh. My address is 1620 Handley Drive, Dallas, representing Grand Forks Concrete. I've been working with our council member and would stop here and respect our council's anything you've had to say and his recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Griggs.
I need to approve for a one-year period, subject to site planning conditions.
You have a motion and second. Does that mean we're
amending the recommendation from CPC and staff, and I could provide an explanation for my staff. Quite simply, the operator right now is operating illegally. It's an outside non-conforming use in West Dallas up against the residential neighborhood. We've been illegally operating for 5 years. For the last 5 years, he could have moved to this new site but didn't. So that's why I would like to give him just 1 year to move to the new site to encourage him. Also to encourage him, I recognize it's difficult financial times. I put him in touch with Carl Zadikowski. We have money available to keep businesses in West Dallas and fund them. We used some of those funds just a couple of weeks ago, the council will remember, for a deal with Lawrence Sweeney. So I've also offered to make one of those programs available to help out with the move. But we need to get them out of the residential neighborhood where it's cement business, and we need to get them over the site that's appropriate, that's zoned industrial. And to encourage that to happen, I'm recommending 1 year.
So we have a motion in item number 67 with the amendment of making this for 1 year window. We had a second, I think it was Ms. Jones, right? Ms. Ellerman? And any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 69 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit 1758 for a recycling collection center on properties found in Iowa Industrial Research District with a portion within a designated threshold on the east side of YLA, north of 1000.
Mr. Mayor, within 11 hours, this property owners were in turn field of the request. We received one reply in favor and four replies in opposition. However, due to the opposition of the 20% of the property owners have been turned through to the request, right? Mr. Wilson, call us for a quarter vote.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item?
Good afternoon, Your Honor, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Robert Baldwin, I'm with 3904 Elm Street, Suite D in Dallas. I'm here representing the property owner. I have requested a request that this be held over to the next available meeting so I can work out some neighborhood issues that I became aware of today. And with that, I'm here to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No further speakers this evening.
Thank you. I will return a motion for approval, Mr. Lanza.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much, Mr. Lanza, for coming. I need a motion to move to hold item number 68 under advisement to September 28, 2011, with the public hearing left open.
Do we have a second? Ms. McGowan? Any other questions? Comments? All right, so we now have a motion for a holdover here. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion is carried.
Item number 72 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a late hours establishment limited to a restaurant without driving or drive-thru service. A property zone planned development district number 842 for CI Community Retail District uses on the east line of Denver Avenue, south of Prospect Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, with an 18 notices, copy notice from the chair of the other request, we received 9 files in favor and no files in opposition.
Are there any individuals? We do have one individual signed up to speak. Bruce Richardson?
Bruce Richardson, 5607 Richmond Avenue, speaking for Lois Greenville Neighborhood Association's Coalition. We are here actually to simply ask you to support CHEPO's application as brought to you by the City Plan Commission. Speaking in opposition is a strange place to do that, but we do it because we view ourselves as a loyal opposition, the same way that people with different interests in different legislative groups do. It's important to us to recognize that TEPO is an owner of its property. They're not going anywhere. They're not a bar, they're not a dance hall, they're a true restaurant. That is exactly what we're looking for, uses of that size, that type, uses that we have no legal complaint about. I wish them all the success in the world, and thank you very much for your attention. I wish them luck with their SUP.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers for tonight.
Thank you. I entertain a motion for approval, Ms. Hunt.
Move to approve.
Second. Any discussion? Questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We proceed now to your addendum agenda item number 12. A public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a late hours establishment limited to a restaurant on property zone plan development district number 842 for CR Community Retail District uses on the northeast corner of Denver Avenue and Prospect Avenue. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak? We do have one individual signed up to speak. Bruce Richardson? Mr. Richardson, yes, addendum item number 12. Yes.
I'm sorry.
sorry. If I were the audio engineer, I would do a cut at 250 hertz, and I would bump it a little at 3K because we can't understand the words being said out here. Bruce Richardson, 5607 Richmond Avenue. This is a case where we have an operator that the Neighborhood Coalition can support. However, we have had major parking issues with this location. Let me outline them for you again. The signage at 5714 Richmond that designates this park, this parking, that designates parking for this use, says free parking for Cush. However, at night, there are attendants for One Star Valet at that parking lot accepting $8 a pop per car. This is an illegal land use. It is a non-permitted commercial parking use taking place on land that is allocated for required parking for use. We come to you for a resolution here because we can't get it fixed. Melissa Miles from the City Attorney's Office understands it. We sent in an extensive dossier. We have met individually with several council members and showed them the evidence of attendants taking money at these parking lots that say free parking for. So, again, when we sold this to our neighbors, when we agreed to undertake this SUP process, the neighborhood cares a lot less about shutting down four or five renegade bars that frankly we can shut down with enforcement. What we care more about is shutting down 10 or 11 flatly illegal land uses that are commercial parking with no CO. We care about that because it coarsens our quality of life. We care about that because it creates an atmosphere of non-compliance, and it causes other people not to comply, and it compounds itself. We care about that because in 1986, there was an extensive land use study undertaken that focused on lower Greenville parking, and that land use study recommended that a way to solve this problem is to use the SUP process in order to attach conditions to operators so that they must follow Dallas City Code. So that rather than depending on code enforcement, where you have cut yet another round by necessity, instead of depending on building inspection that lasts all of its zoning inspectors, instead of depending on enforcement agencies that cannot regulate this, you may regulate it by holding back something that is desired. You can do that. You have the power. So I'm suggesting to you, as a body, as 15 people who care about your city, do something for this neighborhood. Help us bring this use into compliance. Help us eliminate the illegal land use that is operating on these properties. Please help us do that. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, Mr. Richardson.
Are there any speakers in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Jonathan Hetzel. Address is 2622 Commerce Street. I'm speaking because I'm the one that's been handling the parking issue on Miller Greenville for our company, Madison Partners, who's the landlord in this case. We first found out about the CO for a commercial parking lot issue about a month or two ago. We received a notice of violation from the City of Dallas. Immediately upon receiving that notice of violation, we realized that the operation of the parking lot on Richmond was out of compliance. We ceased charging for that lot. We instructed those in Valet to cease charging for that lot. And since that moment, the parking lot has been open, unmanned, and completely free at all days and at all times. as well as having signage saying free parking with no time stipulation whatsoever on it for the businesses in this block, being Kush, Shade, Single Wide, Nextopia, Simple Fondue, et cetera, et cetera. And so the statement that we are operating illegal land uses just is not true. That's just not an accurate statement. We do have two parking lots on Lower Granville that we are continuing to charge on, but we do have COs for commercial parking lots on those two lots, as well as we are not using those two lots for COs for other businesses. And they're on the other side of Granville anyway and have no connection to this building whatsoever. And so we, as soon as we found out about all these issues, we believe we are 100% into compliance in terms of COs and not charging on required parking spaces and not charging on lots without COs for commercial parking lots. And I'd just like to submit that to the council. Thank you.
Are there any individuals?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, let's get along to all that 3301 Elm. On the issue of the SUP itself and the parking, again, this was a use that was the one of the subjects of David Costin's email of yesterday afternoon about parking. Again, I spoke with Ron Evans and others about that. We understand it's an issue that will need to be addressed. That's the building inspection issue. It will be addressed. We understand that. It will have to be handled as part of the CO. We will handle it. Again, that is something that we take care of at that issue, not at the SUP issue. We believe we've met all the qualifications for the SUP. Ask that you follow staff recommendations and Frank Vick recommendations. Thank you.
Are there any other individuals that would be like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I entertain the motion. Ms. Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I appreciate the clarification from Jonathan. We do want to make sure that we have all of the parking addressed before any CO is issued, and we will do that. With that, I move to approve.
Thank you. Ms. McGovern? All right. Any other questions? Comments? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
On the zoning consent addendum, item number 13 is a public hearing for a specific use permit for a late hours establishment limited to a commercial amusement inside for a billiard hall on property zoned plan development district number 813 for CR community retail district uses on the east side of Google Avenue, south of Orange Street.
Mr. Mayor, within 52 notices, property owners will ensure through their request we received 4 replies in favor and 4 replies in opposition.
There are no individuals signed up on this item. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in opposition? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Do we have a motion, Ms. Hunt?
Move to approve.
Second. Ms. McGrana, any questions, comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
On the zoning consent addendum, item number 14 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a late hours establishment limited to a restaurant without drive-in or drive-through service on property zoned plan development district number 842 for CR community retail district uses on the east side of Denver Avenue, north of Prospect Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, within 20 notices, staff and owners will join through their request, receive 5 replies in favor and 2 replies in opposition.
We do have one individual signed up to speak on this item, Bruce Richardson. Mr. Richardson?
Ms. Richardson. You can speak, Mr. Richardson? All right.
Bruce Richardson, 5607 Richmond Avenue. Thank you for the kind reminder that I should pay attention. This is a dance hall operating under a restaurant CO. I have opted not to show really salacious and embarrassing photographs because Councilmember Hunt has seen them and Councilmember Madrona has seen them.
and they understand. I believe I see Councilmember Griggs nodding his head. I guess he has seen them. I emailed them to a few people. When you look at the SUP standard, and the SUP standard says that you must come to a finding that the applicant will comply with zoning codes and regulations, you have to look at whether the applicant has complied with zoning codes and regulations, and you need to extrapolate from your experience whether or not you believe the behavior that has happened will continue, or whether there will be new behavior. We can all be hopeful for new behavior. But right now, this is not even a valid certificate of occupancy. It's a use that is not accommodated not only by the certificate of occupancy, it's a use that's not accommodated by the district. You cannot, in a CR district, operate a dance hall by right. You must have an additional SUP to do that. Now, the applicant has some plans and has discussed them with us and has discussed a willingness to work this out. I don't know what work this out means in the context of a continuing land use that is not legal. And from the neighborhood perspective, it's difficult for us to place faith in a "we will do this if given another chance" scenario. In the final filter, this got by the CPC without even questioning the dance hall aspect. The applicant told me it was what he had to do to survive. So, think about your own neighborhood. Think about my neighborhood. Think about a condition where business operators say, "I have to be illegal to survive." Seems like I'm cramming an awful lot of general testimony and admonition into my 3 minutes. But all I can do is beg you to ask hard questions and to vote as a reflection of what you see. We need the number of late night uses in our district reduced. That is why we undertook this. So please scrutinize these applicants carefully and vote according to your conscience. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Richardson.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Roger Albright, 3301 Elm. First State is not coming before you asking to be a dance hall. It's not coming before you asking to be a bar. It's coming before you asking to have an SUP to be able to operate late nights as a restaurant. The operator of Shade, as Ms. Richardson indicated, has plans to close Shade, renovate it, reopen it as a separate, as a different concept. That concept will be, as most of Lower Greenville places are with restaurants, will be a late night use. We'll need that. It will be a restaurant use. It will not be a dance hall. It will not be a bar. Again, we are asking that you follow staff recommendation in that respect. Again, the SUP conditions provide that we will comply with the provisions of the code. It does not say you always did in the past. You say you will in the future, and this applicant is saying he will. And if he does not, obviously you have the ability to take away that SUP, or if he's not operating in accordance with the CO, to take away that CO. But as I say, this is a area in transition. This applicant has an existing lease, wants to honor that lease, wants to continue with his participation in Lower Greenville. He was one of the people who's been a champion of this late night ordinance, and he wouldn't be in that position if he thought indeed it was going to put him out of business. So I would ask you to again follow the recommendation of the planning commission, and I will turn it over to the operator.
My name is Manny Carter. I own 2114 Greenville Avenue, which is Shade. We have signed a new lease for Shade, to move Shade. I have that lease here. Also, what we'll be doing is renovating it for the second time because I have a full kitchen, as I've shown to Dr. Peterson. We have served food. We served much more food than we were first 3 years we were there. We've used catering. We've used our kitchen a lot to serve food, but yes, we have had dancing in there. That will go away. We have a plan to open a place similar to the one in Grapevine, Texas, called Into the Glass. Those are partners of mine. All along, we wanted to do one thing, and that's to operate a cafe on Greenville. The landlord knows that, and anybody that knows me knows that that's what we've been trying to do for a long time. And we thought that this project was a little bit shorter than it in waiting. So we've waited for 7 years for this to happen, and we'd like to change our place over to what we originally started it out as, and that is a restaurant. Thank you.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'm going to turn the motion for approval in response.
Mr. Mayor, I'm going to move to deny without prejudice, and colleagues, if I may explain why, Mr. Mayor.
Please.
I appreciate the fact that the applicant is not coming here to ask for either an SUP for a bar or a dance hall, and frankly, that has been the problem. Because I've been to your website, and this is advertised with photos, 20 photos and videos, as a dance club, as a bar. And to me, the best way to understand how someone's going to behave in the future, I'm not asking a question, sir. You can sit down right now. The best way you can understand how someone's going to behave in the future is to look how they have behaved in the past. And if someone has violated the trust of the city and of the neighborhood and taken advantage of an illegal use, I am not predisposed then to grant you the benefit of a permit that would allow you to operate from midnight to 2 a.m. Now, if your true intent, sir, is to operate a cafe on Lower Greenville, you can do that, and you can do that, I believe, successfully up until midnight. And I think once you get a track record that you're operating legally and you're not operating outside the bounds of City of Dallas law, as you have been, then I will certainly endorse a late-hour SUP for you, and I would encourage my colleagues to support that at that time. Now, as your attorney will explain to you, I propose to do this without prejudice so that when you do have a track record, you can come back and you don't have to wait 2 years to do that. But up until that time, I simply can't support doing this. Colleagues, I hope you'll support me in this.
The motion is second. I have one question, Ms. Evans, for my staff and some first time around the block here and for other folks. If someone has an SUP and they don't work or live in compliance, what is the procedure to pull that SUP away?
Actually, I'd like Ms. O'Donnell to go through that procedure.
Okay, please.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor. Most SUPs have time frames associated with them. So you're here in the afternoon, this is for 2 years, this is for 5 years, this is for 10 years. Typically, what the city does is allow that time period to expire, and when they come back in to renew that SUP, appropriate action is taken at that point. However, the city can authorize the hearing and actually bring that SUP back up at its discretion.
So if the moment they start not complying, our action, how long would that take usually? A month, 2 months, 6 months?
Well, we have to go through the zoning process,
right,
which is planning commission and then city council. That's typically a 4 to 6 month process.
Okay, please. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Any other questions?
Yes.
Mr. Cabane.
Do we actually know they're not compliant? Do we know they're not compliant?
Do we know that they're operating a dance
park?
I think there's been evidence presented that clearly shows that there's...
You haven't done anything to stop it?
That, I don't know, sir. That would be a question for code enforcement and for the attorney's office.
Have we enforced any kind of code against the establishment as of today?
That I don't know, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cabane, for that question. Alright, we have a motion and a second to deny without prejudice. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? The motion is carried.
So your addendum item number 15 on the zoning consent is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a later establishment limited to a restaurant without garden or grassy service on property zoned planned development district number 813 for Sierra Community Retail District uses on the north side of Alpha Avenue, west of Denver Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, this incoming letter for staff, the owners with insurance fee of the request. We received 2,000 further and another 1,000 acquisition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Grano.
Thank you very much. My questions were answered, and I would like to close the public hearing and follow the recommendation of the staff and CPC approval for a three-year period subject to a site plan and conditions.
And the second. Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion is carried.
Addendum item number 16 on the zoning consent is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a late hours establishment limited to a restaurant with drive-in or drive-thru service on property zoned planned development district number 832 for Sierra Community Retail District uses on the southwest corner of Denver Avenue and Alta Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, within 39 notices of property owners and insurance fees are over request, we receive 6,000 further and no 1,000 opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in the audience that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve?
Good afternoon, Mayor members of the City Council. Suzanne Kedger, 901 9th Street. I'm here today with Taco Cabana. This is the first unit in the Dallas area. Very proud to still be there and operating 24 hours. They first came to that location in 1993. They have 14 full-time employees there. Throughout the state of Texas, they have 4,659 employees, and that constitutes 40 stores in Texas and 160 within the chain. They've been great neighbors. I believe everyone's been supportive of them being there. They have operated 24 hours since they've been there. I also want to recognize Mark Kramer and Sonia Fiora. They're here from Taco Cabana if you have questions as well. And on one other note, I would just like to thank your staff on this case. They didn't know about it early enough. They were contacted. I was helping them on something else. We came to you. And I've got to tell you, your staff, Richard Brown in particular, really worked diligently to get us before you in a timely manner. So I do want to thank staff for that. And with that, I'll seek your support of the CPC and staff recommendation and approval. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item?
Just to prove that lightning won't strike if the neighborhood comes forward and speaks on the in favor side of a case, we shall do so. To say that we had a real concern about the length of the lease on this particular tenant, because when you create a late night SUP in this district, because there is such high scrutiny and so many standards that need to be addressed, you are in essence creating a new market condition in our neighborhood. Spaces that have an SUP become the most valuable space in the neighborhood. So with that comes some risk that, say, you grant a five-year SUP
on a space and there's a year left in the lease. That potentially leaves 4 years of operation that has been completely unvetted by this body. Taco Cabana distinguished itself in our eyes by responding to our concern by changing its request and changing its request to reflect the length of its lease. That to us said, here's somebody who cares about accountability and who cares about our level of comfort. I wholeheartedly support it. I hope you do too. Thank you very much.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? After the speaker, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I entertain a motion, Ms. Bugliano.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to close this public hearing and follow the recommendation of city staff and CPC. Approval for the period ending September 30th, 2013, subject to site plan and conditions.
Motion second. Any questions, comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
The addendum item number 17 on the agenda consent is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a late hours establishment limited to a restaurant without drive-in or drive-through service on property zoned Town Development District Number 832 for Sierra Community Retail District users on the west end of River Avenue, south of 5th Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 23 notices to the Office of Insurance to regarding the request. We received 4,000 in favor and no 5,000 in opposition.
We do have one individual member to speak on this item, Bruce Richardson.
I'm surprised.
Good afternoon. Bruce Richardson, 5607 Richmond Avenue. You'll be happy to be rid of me after this case for today. There's a great divide we are discovering between the interests of residents of this district, of business operators in this district, and of retail property owners in this district. Delta credits are very good for retail property owners because one gets to imagine and state that they have parking spaces that don't exist. They're like unicorn tours or glitter. They have no relationship to an ability to accommodate cars. So, we have an applicant here who is determined not to have Delta credits and who was charged to provide parking, and we were led to understand that that parking is immediately behind the building. As of this weekend, I can assure you that there was a commercial parking use taking place on that property, and there were attendants extracting cash from drivers in exchange for allowing them to park their cars. Now, I don't know what rip in the space-time continuum is making my observation different from the observation of the property owner, but I can assure you, I'm either hallucinating or there's a commercial parking use there. So, I won't beat on that anymore. I will simply ask you that, what do you think about this? Could the best way to cut through this little impasse would be simply to add a condition to this SUP that says the property owner will provide one parking space for every 100 square feet of leased space. I don't know how you do it. I just know it needs to be done. Because here's the reality. Let me answer some questions for you in 30 seconds. How long, Mr. Mayor, does it take to get an SUP off of a piece of property once it's on? Try 8 years of constant trying. Try 10 years of constant trying. That's the political reality. Who's enforcing these laws?
No one is enforcing these laws, folks. Code enforcement does not work these hours at night. They are not there unless overtime is allocated, and even then, we've only had two code enforcement officers see our neighborhood in the space of a month. So thank you for your attention, and ask hard questions. Please help us solve this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Richardson.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Are we speaking in favor?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Thank you. Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Samuel Mandel at 1923 Greenville Avenue, Dallas, Texas, 75206. I'm here to answer any questions, and I've been running my business for 4 years and wish to do so. I have my landlord here to answer the questions about the housing, which Mr. Richardson has brought to the table. And I just wanted to mention one other thing, that I was up for a staff recommendation of 5 years for the SCP. It was lowered to one. On conditions of getting my CO changed, which I do have here, and it has been done so, it's at least in the process. So I would like to get that changed back to the 5 year period as well. But here's my landlord to talk about the issues with the parking.
My name is Stephen Schwartz, and I'm at 9162 Coral Drive, Dallas, Texas. And I just wanted to assure the council that we are going through the proper channels with the city code enforcement to provide a certificate of occupancy on the property. We would like the SUP to be 5 years. These guys are small business operators. It's very costly for them to go through the SUP process. It takes time away from their business. It's very arduous process for anybody, but for a small business owner, it's very difficult. And Mr. Mandel is doing everything that he can do, and we're trying as landlords to go through the channels with the city to provide the proper certificate of occupancy. If he doesn't get one of those, then he won't be able to operate his business. It's just the way the rules have been set up with the city, and we're trying to accommodate those rules, and we will. So we would just ask you to, you know, allow us to go back to the recommendation by city staff of a 5 year SUP, not a 1 year. So Mr. Mandel doesn't have to go through this process again in a year. He actually has to start the process probably in 6 months.
Okay. Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve?
My name is Jonathan Hetzel, Madison Partners, 2622 Commerce Street. We are a minority owner with Stephen Schwartz in this building, so I've been minorly involved on the parking issue here as well. And he was supposed to address it. I think he just forgot, so I'm going to do it for him. What happened in this instance was a service bar, who's another tenant of this building, per their lease, has control of managing that parking lot because they're the ones primarily using it at night. They're the ones that hired the valet company. Back when we found out about the solar charging for parking issue along with the other parking lots, we told Service Bar very clearly prior to their CPC hearing that they needed to cease charging for parking on that lot. And none of their guys or their valet companies can get in a car if they don't have a valet permit either, otherwise they're going to get us all into trouble. We just found out on Monday morning through our Lone Star Valet company that handles all the lots that we're in control of, that the charging was happening last weekend. We're not arguing with Bruce on that. As soon as we found that out on Monday morning, we sent an email to Service Bar saying that that was absolutely unacceptable. We specifically asked you not to do it. You're not operating the lot in compliance, and that they are no longer going to be managing that lot, and it's going to be free and open for business. I actually have a copy of that email that we sent on Monday if anybody would like to see it. But we understand the issue on that one. It wasn't us doing it, and as soon as we found out it was still going on after we told them to stop doing it, we took them off the lot. Thank you.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. McGrannan.
I have a couple of questions. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess the landlord, please, if you'll step up. I'd like to know
common spaces are dedicated for this restaurant?
15.
Where's the parking located? Is it designated? Is it marked? If I were to go, or any one of the council members would go to the to the pizza restaurant, where would we park for you?
Behind the building is in part of the CO process. We have to redo part of our parking lot, restrike it. So we submitted a plan to the city for restriking for 21 spaces behind the building.
And
the existing parking lot is concrete. It's there. You drive by there after the meeting today and see the concrete. You won't be striped to 21 spaces, but once the tenant has his CO, you know, approved conceptually, then we'll start the work to restripe the parking lot.
Mr. Mandel, would you step up? I'd like to know, you talked a little bit about your lease. How long is your lease?
Currently, I believe we have another year and a half left.
A year and a half left.
And there are options as well on that.
2 5-year options.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
There are 2 5-year options on that.
Okay, but you only have one, a year and a half still left on that.
Yeah, we generally start negotiating, you know, a year before the lease is up to negotiate for a longer period of time.
The primary term on the lease has about a year and a half left on it, and then there's a provision in the lease that Mr. Mandel has an option to renew that lease for 2 5-year periods.
And this is where I have trouble in if you're granting an SUP for a longer period of time, and then those options, you know, you don't either grant them or you don't take the 5-year option. Now what happens, you know, with your location? And I think that's what is troubling me.
Well, I don't think Mr. Mandel has had any issues with the city as far as complaints, you know, or citations. And so, you know, it's part of the value, as Mr. Richardson alluded to. I mean, it's hard to get an SUP today, so there's value in having an SUP. And if he ever decides that he wants to sell his business and he doesn't have an SUP, it takes away value from Mr. Mandel's business. And that's, you know, it's very difficult to get tenants down there right now, and one of the issues is with the SUP. The tenants kind of look at it, tenants say that it's very difficult. We don't know if we want to fight that battle, so it is to have value to the lease.
But on the flip side, if he leaves and he does and renew his lease or takes one of the options, then you're at an advantage because then you've got X number of years with the SUP because it goes along with the.
Right, but there's no reason that I shouldn't have a competitive advantage to lease my space. I'm down here, I've gone through the process, I take care of my property, I do what the city asks me to do. Why should I not have an advantage to lease my space? I've worked hard to get there, and I'm still continuing to work hard and spending money to do that.
I think Ms. Hunt has a good question.
Ms. Hunt, do you have a question?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Pauline, for letting me ask my question. I guess I want to follow up on something Ms. Medrano said, because I understand from a business standpoint, you do want a competitive advantage, there's no question. But understand from our standpoint, we're protecting our neighborhoods, and the whole reason for this planned development district is to protect neighborhoods from late night abuses, whether it's crime, whether it's drunken activity, whether it's traffic, parking issues, noise, all of those things. And so I have some heartburn over this idea of granting a 5-year lease based on his, not yours, sir, I'm sorry, based on his experience and the neighborhood's experience with his business and what he has done and accomplished. And you have a very good reputation in our neighborhood for how you run your business and how you interact with the neighborhood. We don't have any problems with you at all. And so my concern is if you've got a year and a half lease left, it doesn't make sense to me that we would be looking at 5 years if we don't know that you're going to be there 5 years. So I just wanted to share my concerns on that and let you know why that is. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Madam Madrona.
Am I allowed to respond?
No, certainly, thank you. Ms. Madrona?
Thank you, Mayor. Well, thank you, Ms. Hunt, for asking those questions. I am ready to make a motion.
Thank you. You can stand.
I would like to recommend a move that we approve this SUP for a 2-year period subject to site plan and conditions.
The motion is second. Questions? Comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We conclude now to rezoning cases that are set for individual consideration. Item number 74 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a plan development district for certain industrial uses and determination of specific use permit number 1709 for a metal salvage facility use and specific use permit number 1724 for a metal salvage facility use on property zone plan development district number 306. The Ledbetter Eagle Ford Special Purpose District and an IR Industrial Research District in an area generally bounded by Ritter Street, Progressive Drive, and Chippewa Drive, with a consideration being given to and an element granting a specific report for metal salvage facility use.
Mr. Mayor, we consider it notice the property owners within 500 feet of the area request. We received 8,000 in favor and 2,000 in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain motions. Mr. McGrannan.
Hello,
sir. I'm sorry. You need to turn your clock.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to hold item number 74 under advisement to September 28, 2011, with the public hearing left open.
Good second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Your item number 75 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store use on less than 3,500 square feet and property zoned in RR Regional Retail District with a D1 liquor control overlay on the east end of North Buckley Boulevard, north of Chenault Street.
Mr. Mayor, within 11 other six property owners within 300 feet of the area request, we received 9,000 in favor and 3,000 in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve?
Dallas Cochran, 900 Jackson Street. Mr. Mayor, members of the council representing Racetrack Petroleum. This is an RR zoning district. There's a large, formerly Conflin, vacant box. So Racetrack in this instance really functions as the largest general merchandise retailer in a fairly large shopping center. So we feel it's a suitable use and ask you to grant approval. We've also worked with Councilmember Davis on some operational issues that I think will improve the use there, and happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Entertain motions, Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to make some comments. First of all, I want to thank Racetrack for sending me a letter today, and in the letter they included a recommendation that I asked them that I had been working with the community on. We had a meeting about a month ago to talk about some concerns that the community had. And in the recommendation, they stated, and I quote, Racetrack Petroleum will volunteer exclude the So Loco brand and the Magnum Davis 2020 brand, formerly known as Mad Dog 2020, from this location with the approval of a 2-year special use permit for the sale of beer and wine. And I would like, and because they decided to do that, I will move to close the public hearing, follow the City Plan Commission recommendation for approval of this item, which is Z101-268.
Thank you. Ms. Davis for the second. Yes. Mr. Carroll, any other questions? Comments? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion's carried.
Item number 76 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a tower antenna for cellular communication on property zoned in CR Community Retail District on the northwest corner of Northwest Highway and Midway Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 9 letters to Mr. Papineros for ensuring through the board request. We received 2,000 in favor and 9,000 in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any individuals in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item?
Good afternoon, Mayor and members of the City Council. My name is Dave Green. I'm here on behalf of Bowman Consultants to respond to any questions or concerns that you may have involving this request. My address is 416 Fountain Park Drive. That's in Euless, Texas, 76039.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I want to motion. Ms. McMillan.
I move to close the public hearing and follow the CPC recommendation for approval with the following change, that the maximum height be 78 feet.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any other questions, comments? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We proceed now to item number 77. This item is a designated zoning case. I will read a statement into the record, which will apply to item number 77, 78, 79, and 80.
I'm going to excuse myself.
I'm sorry. The mayor just had a conflict on item number 77. And the statement I will read into the record will actually apply to item number 77, 78, and 79. Item number 80 has been deleted on the agenda. By making and seconding the motion, this council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Item number 77 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to Plan Development District Number 799 in an area bounded by Mother's Lane, Anthony Drive, Milton Street, and Matilda Street to the west.
Madam Mayor, we sent 219 notices to property owners within filing through the order request. We received 199,000 in favor and 9,000 opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item?
Madam Mayor, members of the council, Rod Rawback, 3301 Elm. I come before you today not actually against what the applicant says he wants to build, which is retirement housing and multifamily, because we're in favor of that. Lincoln owns roughly 350 acres immediately adjacent to this site, got a value of $325 million, pays $9 million a year in taxes. We are probably the most affected property owner by having a vacant, burned-out apartment complex that the applicant owns, and we wish we would have demolished it 3 years ago. But that hasn't happened. Our issue is that the PD that is before you might not be limited to just retirement housing and multifamily. It is a very vague, poorly written PD, and I say that based on the version I last saw yesterday morning, because this has been a moving target that has changed by the day. But at that time, it also allowed something called a rehab clinic, which was a new use that the applicant was defining that was going to be allowed in the middle area, to be 54 feet high, be an unspecified number of square feet. We didn't know whether parking restriction was going or limitation was going to be, that sort of thing. Our problem is all those other pieces that we do not know about. Those are the pieces that concern us. It isn't the fact that he wants to build 356 multifamily units across the street from us. The village has 7,000 units, including ones that are brand new. We are not worried about somebody building 356 units across the street. That's not what this is about. I know there's been some suggestion that Lincoln's attempting to obstruct us about this. That's not it at all. We welcome the development. Would love to see it. We want some assurances. And because that's the only way you have them, as anybody on this council knows, if it's not written in the ordinance, you have no assurance. We want some assurance. What is the Lover's Lane and Amesbury streetscape going to look like? What are the parking restrictions going to be? What are the uses going to be? What are the limitations on the size of the uses? We do not have any of that assurance. And all we would ask you to do is to hold this under advisement so we can continue to work with the applicant to do that. And I will tell you that if Lincoln had decided to file our opposition, we have more than 20% of the property owners of the surrounding area, it would have required a three-quarters vote. We didn't do that. We didn't do that because we've been operating in good faith with the applicant to try to do this. Now, as soon as the noon deadline passed yesterday, it's been silent. Haven't been able to give an answer. But once again, I think if we're allowed to sit down and hammer those issues out, which we were doing as recently as yesterday morning, we could resolve those remaining issues because we're down to a handful of them. But again, all we're asking is on our behalf and on behalf of the entire neighborhood that we have some certainty built into this ordinance. Thank you.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? I'm sorry, ma'am, you may go ahead and step up and just state your position or that you're in opposition, please.
Okay, my name is Kim McCormick, 2020, Dallas, Texas, 75201, and I'm the representative of Lincoln Property Company. So I'm really just reiterating what Mr. Albright stated, that we're not necessarily in opposition to the development. As he stated, we're in a $400 million investment right across the street. We're just wanting to get more clarity into the ordinance before it's passed and what actually needs to work with that with the applicant.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item?
Madam Mayor, members of the council, Dallas Coughlin, 900 Jackson Street. And I'll try and be brief, but I would say that since the economic downturn, this is really one of the largest projects that's come before you. I mean, it's on the tax rolls right now for $9 million, and it's a $120 million project that will create more than 100 new jobs. And I think, really importantly, we've worked extremely closely with our neighborhood folks. And so if I could ask them to stand and show that they're in favor, please, for all the people that are here in favor. And I think that's shown in the notices, 199 in favor and one opposed. You can't make everyone happy. And so, you know, we've worked very hard, the 30-page ordinance, and so, you know, I want to walk you through the site a little bit here. You know, the city of Dallas talks a lot about, about a transit-oriented development. This is a transit-oriented development, and if anything, we should be more dense here. We think this is very reasonable what we're asking for. That last slide showed you that across the street from us where the Tom Thumb is, Lincoln developed that in the 1990s and asked for 270 feet of height and a 15-foot setback. We've asked for 15 feet of height, a 15-foot setback, and only 56 feet of height. So, again, I think the numbers are pretty telling. Again, transit-oriented, we're within a quarter of a mile, we'll be able to have people walk and do various activities. Next one. This is the old Fairfield plan, and you might remember it was a contentious zoning case with a lot of people down here against. That really hasn't happened today. What we've done is trade 80,000 square feet of retail for now down to 17,000 with a seniors component of about 350 units. And you'll see some pictures. This is like living on a cruise ship. This is the highest end in that area, or in that particular living range. And importantly, our, go back to that slide on the traffic. Our trips are now down because of the seniors, overall 25%, but at peak times we're down 49% and 38% in the PM peak times. So, you know, the addition of seniors to this component is certainly better from a traffic area, and I think that's why you don't have a lot of citizens down, like from Councilman Cabane's district that's adjacent to us, because they're concerned that it's going to be too busy. And I walk you through the old Fairfield plans replaced by this one. We're now much more urban looking. It's got a better streetscape. Again, another picture. Here on Lover's Lane, you'll see that in deference to Lincoln's suggestions, we're willing to do three stories with a facade on Lover's, four stories elsewhere. And then you'll see here in a second the seniors component at the Prestonwood site that he has in Miss Coop's district currently. And that here it is. I mean, this is an interior courtyard with a pond and all the landscaping. And so, granite and stainless steel, a very nice dining hall. I mean, we're looking at rents of $3,000 a month in some cases for these units. So what we're trying to do is every level from retirement to skilled care. And that's not done in a lot of places. It's a great location to draw from a large area. I think importantly, you know, one thing we've committed to the neighborhood, and we're already out there if we look at the last slide, we plan to start demolition tomorrow with our asbestos abatement. Thank you.
I think we have some other speakers. Thank you.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item?
Good afternoon, Mr. Thompson. My name is Willa, 5082, Matilda, number 220, Dallas, Texas, 75206. On behalf of my neighbors, homeowners, and residents that live in close proximity of Signature Point, we are ready to see this property raised and redeveloped after it has been vacant since November of 2007. On behalf of three HOA boards within the 500-foot voting proximity to this property, we do represent 199 of the homeowners votes that are enthusiastically in support of G101201. As you can see from the photos that I am sending you, I take offense to the fact that Lincoln property is the most directly impacted by this property. As you will see, I am the current homeowner association president for Bridgeford 2 condominiums, and the photos before you are what my homeowners look at directly across the street from Milton and not across the busy Lover's Lane Road. My 18 of my homeowners live directly across from that property, and that is what we look at on a daily basis. A vacant, gravely deteriorated, and partially burnt property that is currently depressing and an embarrassment to the Dallas City. It's not only visible from us from across the street, but it is also across from Matilda, across from Central Market, and parking lot that you can see clearly from that, and it is also seen very visible from Lover's Lane. The new developer, Jonathan Thurman, has been very proactive in reaching out to our community. He has invited residents, homeowners, and boards to his property on Prestonwood Traditions location, and we are very impressed with what he has done there. Without exception, the neighbors and residents who have visited his property and have met with him on a personal level to understand what he plans to bring to this development, believe that both the luxury living, senior living, as well as the upscale apartment component are first-rate projects and will only enhance our neighborhood. It is appropriate density and use for the 12.85 acres, and the inclusion of a senior living actually fills a much-needed housing need that does not already exist in our community. G101201 proposal is less intensive than the original development plan. It's significantly less planned retail, and it's a perfect complement for our diverse, walkable urban Dallas neighborhood that's only a quarter mile from Lover's Lane BART station. Right now on DTAB, that property appraises for $9.5 million. But right now, as you can see from what Dallas Cochran has said, there are people ready to work tomorrow to bulldoze that, and when that property is redeveloped, it will be a $100 million range property. Now that sounds like a jobs plan and stimulus package to me. So I'm hoping that the city council will approve and bring a sense of hope, bring jobs to our local community, increase our tax rate on moving Dallas forward by voting yes on D11201. And I take this moment to thank our city councilwoman, Angela Hunt, who has had her door open to both sides of this topic over the last 4 years as we've worked tirelessly to put something up that could be, we could be proud of in our neighborhood. And I'd be remiss not to also recognize my partner, Kat Truitt, who has been a tireless volunteer advocate on this project as well.
Thank you very much. Are there any other individuals in the audience that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Not for the speakers, Madam Mayor.
Thank you very much, Madam Secretary. We're looking for a motion. Ms. Hunt.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Before I read the motion into the record, it is a bit of a lengthy one. I want to thank all the parties for coming forth, taking part in this important conversation, and working so hard to improve our community. I want to acknowledge Lincoln Properties because anyone who has seen the Village Apartments area knows what incredible quality that is and knows what a great community partner they have been. And so I had the opportunity to talk with Roger last week, and I just want to know that we have addressed certainly not all, but I think a great deal of the concerns that were expressed by Lincoln. And the applicant was very willing to do so. So I think we have a very good compromise here and a good agreement that came out of that. I had the opportunity, Roger, to talk with Blake Pogue this afternoon, and I shared that with him. So I think as I read this, I think you'll hear a lot of the things we discussed. Again, not all of the things that you were interested in, but a great deal of them. And I think the most important issues, I think, are present here. So, colleagues, if you'll bear with me, I do have to read a little bit of a motion, but I wanted to go ahead and resolve this today rather than bringing this back to council. So just bear with me for a moment. I move to close the public hearing and approve the City Planning Commission recommendation with the following, with the ordinance to come back on a later council agenda with the following changes. Number one, dumpsters in subarea 1 must be south of the main structure and must be screened with materials consistent with the main structure. Number two, office is not allowed as a main use in subarea 2, but medical evaluation, assessment, treatment, and rehabilitation clinic use exclusively for residents is an allowed use in subarea 2 with a parking ratio of 1:333. Number three, the number of street trees required along Milton, Amesbury, and Lovers is 1 per 25 feet. In subarea 2, setback from Milton is 20 feet. Number five, facades facing right-of-way must be 80% masonry, excluding windows, trim, and doors. Number six, stucco is not considered a masonry material for facades. Number seven, detached signs may not be illuminated between midnight and 6 a.m. and may not move, flash, rotate, or change illumination more than once an hour or have illuminance of more than 200-foot Lamberts. Number eight, the first 15 feet of depth of structures with facades facing Lovers Lane must be habitable space. Number nine, in subarea 2A, a maximum of 2 rows of parking is allowed between a structure facade and Matilda. B, a maximum of 1 row of parking is allowed between a structure facade and Lovers. And C, a maximum of 1 row of parking is allowed between a structure facade and Milton. In subarea 3A, no parking is allowed between a structure facade and Amesbury. B, no parking is allowed between a structure facade and Milton. And C, no parking is allowed between a structure facade and Lovers for a minimum of 80% of the frontage of Lovers. Parking is only permitted adjacent to subarea 2. Part D, on the area facing Lovers Lane, there must be an appearance of 3 stories. And colleagues, that is it. Thank you for your forbearance.
Second.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have a question for the HOA president. You spoke in favor of this partly because it was going to be retirement housing.
Yes.
But there's nothing in here that says it's deed restricted to always be retirement housing. If it turned out not to be retirement housing and it was straight multi-family, because that would be allowed on all of this. Is it still okay with you?
Yes.
We actually voted in favor of the previous plan that passed, but then we weren't able to go forward because of bankruptcy and the development. So we did approve both, arise and figure out, yes, our community will look at those proposals. But at this point, for many of us who have standing funds who are seniors in this area, including residents of our current condo community, would happily move across the street to be part of this, we see this as a unique and needed addition as far as the different housing action.
No, I don't disagree. I think that's good. It's just that it's not restricted, and so it could be plain multifamily. It doesn't have to be seniors.
Understood.
And you're still okay with that?
Yes.
And
the
right. Congressman has gone through all of that.
I just wanted to clarify that. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Grayson. Ms. Piketty.
Thank you, Emma. Thank you, Angela, for bringing this forward and moving it, because I know it's been a long while, and it's been an eyesore for a long time. And I would also like to thank the neighbors here who came out in a positive fact for this, which it wasn't that way before. And I think we've done a lot to bring the neighborhood and this community together with this project. One good thing about it, and I was telling Ms. Grayson, they got rid of a lot of retail that was there before that wasn't, it just didn't work. So they did a great job in doing that, and I appreciate that. These are the transit-oriented developments that we need all over, and this would be a great example for others to go up, I believe. It's going to really be a good one, and I think that we're going to be better for it. So thank you, guys. Thank you, developers, for bringing this forward to us. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Gaudin. Mr. Allen.
I too just would like to reiterate Councilwoman here. With Lincoln Properties, how much we appreciate what y'all do and the class act that y'all bring. And I also like to thank the citizens and the neighbors all for coming down. And I normally don't do this, but I would also say that the developer that you're teaming up with, I've had an opportunity to deal with him in some past issues in the Amends the Class Act. So you're in for a good development coming in.
Mr. Allen, thank you very much. We have a motion, and we have 2 seconds, one by Mr. Atkins, the other one by Mr. Gaudin. Any other questions? I'm going to call the question. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? It passes. Madam Secretary.
Item number 78. This just requires 2 seconds of the public hearing and an ordinance granting a CI community retail district and property zoned in R-7.5A single family district and a resolution accepting the restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property on the north line of Military Parkway between Prairie Creek Road and Kingsford Avenue.
Madam Secretary, while people are coming forward, will you please let the mayor know to come back into the chambers and the last item 77 that he did have a conflict.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, you may return to the chamber.
Now, no, we've considered another special proposition from hearing through the board request. We received no replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Thank you. Are there any individuals in the audience? Actually, we do have 2 individuals signed up, after which it will be open to the general public. The first speaker is Faye Matthews Bridges. Ms. Bridges, you do have 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
Good afternoon. My name is Faye Matthews Bridges, and I reside at 3502 Ridge Crossing Drive, Dallas, Texas, 75227. I want to thank you for giving me an opportunity to come down today and speak to you this afternoon about a situation my neighbors and I feel is a very important issue. I am here this afternoon protesting Agenda Item 78 for the rezoning of the single-family district on property located on the north line of Military Parkway between Prairie Creek Road and Kingsfield Avenue from the single-family district to a community retail district for the purpose of developing the site with an auto service center. We are asking that you deny this application. It may appear to you that we are coming to you at the last minute, asking you to vote no on an issue where the City Plan Commission has recommended approval of the request. However, I ask that you note that myself and many of my neighbors just learned of this application last week. I personally didn't find out about the situation until last Thursday. As soon as I heard, I notified my husband and my neighbor, Ms. Melanie Martin, who will speak to you in a minute, and we immediately came up with a course of action to see if our neighbors felt the same way we did about this application. On Saturday morning, my husband and I started knocking on our neighbors' doors, talking to them about the rezoning application and asking those who were against the application to sign a petition evidencing that they were against the application. We knocked on doors inside and outside the notice area. I have listed names for 65 people opposing the application. If I may, I'm asking that I be allowed to give a list to the mayor or the city secretary so the list can be included in the record. My husband and I live in the Prairie Creek subdivision located on the southwest corner of Military Parkway and Prairie Creek. After talking with many of our neighbors, we realized that they were not in favor of the application and many were concerned that they had not been notified. We explained to our neighbors that although we live in the Prairie Creek subdivision, only a small section of our subdivision was included in the notice zone. This didn't sit well with many of our neighbors because there are only two ways in and out of our subdivision, and one way forces you to pass through the corner applicable to this application. Therefore, although some of us may not live in the notice zone, we drive by the affected area on a daily basis. On Sunday and Monday, other neighbors joined my husband and myself in speaking to neighbors about the situation and helping us to gather the signatures. We went to Kingsford Avenue and Pruitt Street, located within the notice zone, and spoke to the applicant's neighbors, some who readily signed the petition and told us that they too were against the application. In the meantime, our friends and neighbors, Ms. Melanie Martin and her husband, Tyrone, began speaking to their neighbors too. The Martins reside on Cypress Street, and like us, they are one street over from the notice zone. Ms. Martin has signed up to speak to you and to address her concerns with you as well, but we do ask that you oppose this motion for this application. Thank you.
Thank you, and you can give that list to the city secretary.
Thank you. The next speaker is Melanie Martin.
Good afternoon. My name is Melanie Martin, and I live at 3208 Cypress Avenue, Dallas, Texas, 75227. I am also here today to speak on the opposition to Agenda 78 regarding the rezoning application from a single-family district to a community retail district for the purpose of developing the site with the Auto Focus Center. As Ms. Bridges has stated, we told you earlier, we just found out about this application and we spent our weekend talking to our neighbors and gathering names. On Monday, we met the cover the notice area knocking on doors on King Street and Pruitt Street. Many of the residents were happy to sign the petition and wish us luck when we told them we were going to the city today to speak on their behalf. Some of the residents informed us that they had sent their protest back to the city, but they were afraid that it wouldn't be enough. Today, we are hoping that our presence and our signatures will be enough. Our area of the city is growing and new homes are going up all around us. Why would the city allow such a structure in a residential area that is growing? We are pleased to see new homes that are being built up in that area. We welcome the addition of the new school that will be opening directly across from the application zone area on Prairie Creek. We are hoping that our part of the city will be allowed to grow and the city will remain aesthetically pleasing, as many of us object to the thought of someone being allowed to work on their cars in their yard. You may say that this may not look bad, but we disagree, because you do not live there. We do. The deed restrictions only require solid screening along Kingsford Avenue and any side adjacent to the residential zoning district. This will leave the area facing Prairie Creek and Lewis Parkway exposed. People coming to and from the New Ann Richards Elementary School will be forced to look at the cars being worked on in our residential area. This will also be the view that everyone will come to see every time they go to the new school. That's what they will remember when they leave there. Instead, we would like for them to be seeing a growing residential area that they can say, "I didn't know that it was this nice over here." In addition, we also don't believe this would be a safe zone for the children that are becoming and going at the new school. The ingress and egress to the property will be off Military Parkway and Prairie Creek, a busy intersection that will become even busier once school opens.
Also, the requested hours of operation are primarily during the school time. Children will be arriving at the school at the time that most customers will be trying to bring their cars in, and that is between 7:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. The area in question is only a mile from Buckner Boulevard, where it is a commercial hub for anything that is related to a car. There are 3 auto zones, a pet board, a discount tire, and countless other numbers of small, privately owned auto repair shops within 1 mile of the application area. We counted over 40 auto service businesses within a 2-mile range from the applicant's property. We strongly urge the city to deny this application and help our section of the city to continue to grow in promoting single-family homes that are not congested with commercial properties.
Thank you. Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Please state your name and address for the record.
Audra Buckley, I am the representative for the applicant in this case, 2814 Main Street, Dallas, Texas. Just give me just a minute to load up.
To
give you a little background on the site, the subject site is 1.21 acres and consists of 2 lots. The applicant purchased the corner lot here at Military Creek, Military Parkway and Prairie Creek, in order to have the hard corner, and the site contains 2 residential structures and a barn. Here is the zoning map that shows the school to the west, the Russell Light Industrial to the west. The subject site is with the south. The applicant plans to convert the existing barn into 2 inspection bays and work conducted on the property with state inspections with minor maintenance services, if there's any, that need to take place with the inspection. Services requiring auto body parts, engine parts, paint, etc. will not be conducted on this site. Here is an existing business that the applicant has over on Cyan, and he will do 2 bays that look just like this in the barn if it's approved. Here's an image of the barn from Prairie Creek. The residential structure adjacent to the barn will be converted to an office, and the corner residential structure will either be converted to an office or demolished and turned into a parking lot of green space. Market demand will make that determination. Here is the house that is included in this request. This will be office or personal service. And this is the one on the hard corner that will either become an office or be demolished. A shot of the intersection to show the distance of the house on the corner from the intersection. And when we looked at these deed restrictions, we were very sensitive to the fact that we were adjacent to single-family residential, so that we increased some of the requirements in CR, such as the front yard setback. We went from 15 feet to 20 side yard setback. We had no minimum with regular CR. We went to 10 feet from the corner and interior lot, 20 feet adjacent to the road, and 30 feet with residential adjacency if there's any new construction. The maximum of stories were reduced from 4 to 1, and the permitted uses by the restriction have been reduced to the auto service center, office, personal service uses, and utilities. We've also reduced our lot coverage, maximum FOR, the maximum height we reduced from 54 to 26 feet to be more compatible with the neighboring residential, and we are providing solid screening around King Street and the north side. We are not allowing parking in the side yard setbacks, and we have restricted our hours Monday through Saturday from 3 to 6. And here's an area that shows the property. The house immediately to the north of the subject site the applicant owns. You'll see here it has the hard corner, and to the west, you'll see the Matrix Middle School and the Light Industrial.
Again, the yellow line here shows where the 8-foot masonry wall will go. This will keep the traffic for the CR uses off of Peninsula Avenue. And here's residential adjacent to the north, the afternoon. And the Aspen also went available with his own petition and obtained signatures in support. We did hold a community meeting on June 7th, and no opposition is present.
Thank you.
Are there any other individuals in the audience that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I entertain a motion, Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Before I make a motion, and I am going to make a motion to follow the CPC recommendation of approval, Mr. Costin, will you come to the microphone, please?
Yes,
Mr. Costin, were the notices sent in accordance with proper procedure?
Yes, ma'am.
How long has this application been in process?
The application was originally submitted back in September of 2010.
Tell me the year again.
2010.
Thank you, Mr. Costin. May I have the either the applicant or the applicant's representative, please? Ms. Buckley, how long has this business been at its present location?
The one on Tyne?
Yes, ma'am.
He's been in business about a year.
About a year.
Mm-hmm.
The process of going door to door. Now tell me again where y'all went and what was the result.
We went door to door within the notification area. We did obtain signatures. I think there were two or three that we couldn't get because they were never home. We did have one notice in opposition back in December, but it was a conflict between the owners. One of the people in the house was for it and one was against. So, but other than that, we had a community meeting. Again, we sent around information, letting people in the general vicinity know that we were having this meeting. He even went across Military Parkway and invited from that side of the street. And we had a few walk over and tell us they didn't have any objection to what we were doing. So this is new opposition today that I'm here.
Thank you, Ms. Buckley. Like Ms. Buckley, this is brand new opposition to me. I heard about the applicant several months ago. They have done precisely what I require. I've heard nothing contrary before today. My commissioner heard nothing contrary. There was nothing at CPC to give me any indication that what the applicant is telling me is not true, that this business will not work where it is. Accordingly, while I appreciate the residents being here, I appreciate your efforts, I am going to move approval in accordance with the recommendation of the CPC, subject to the deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant.
Thank you, Ms. Hall. We'll go to second. Ms. McGrana, any other, and then, I'm sorry, Ms. Hassel had it for the second. Any other questions, comments, discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Oh, excuse me, Ms. Grayson? Aye, excuse me, thank you. Let the record, but Ms. Grayson, vote again.
Mm-hmm. Item number 79, which again requires 2 seconds of the public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for an alcoholic beverage establishment and a commercial amusement inside use limited to a Class A bar call on property within Town Development District Number 619 for Massachusetts on the south side of Main Street east of Fourth Street.
Mr. Mayor, with an 18 notice, staff members have been chilling through the over request. We receive no replies in favor and 6 replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve?
Kevin Henry, 1321 Commerce Street. I'm the resident manager of the Adopters Hotel, and I'm here representing the management. With respect to the owners and management of the Fresh Night Club, they've always proven
in the past. Can you speak into the mic, Robert? Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
The owners and management, we have been in contact with them concerning this permit. Our opposition is strictly for the outdoor use of speakers, such as a restaurant and nightclub. They have an outdoor rooftop facility that will basically play music using outdoor speakers. We have approximately 60 rooms that face the north side of the hotel, which is facing Main Street. The sound, especially on the weekends, carries up on the street in a funnel effect. We do have a duty to our guests to ensure their peace and quiet, and that is the reason we're here today. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. How's business? Okay?
Very good, man. Thank you.
Okay, good.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve?
Kevin Richardson, 1400 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, famous mayor, council members. I own Appalachian Fresh, and I represent the owner, Mr. Foster, of the building. We invested in that property going on 3 years ago now. We had made a mistake, not voting incorrectly. We went into CPC, and I have a newfound respect for the zoning and how it works and how we need to operate. And I've heard a lot of people doing 2 CPC meetings in this hearing and today, this, what's going on here and how ownership is looked at and what they need to do to continue in the business. And even though the economy is tough sometimes, the city of Dallas gives us requirements and guidelines to operate inside of, and we have to do those, and we understand those and have to respect those. What has happened that has come out of this extremely well is it's given me an opportunity to meet with the surrounding neighbors, like the office, the Davis building, and the residents there. And the rooftop we did because it was approved, and we thought it would be a good thing for our business and for the neighborhood. And we do right now just Friday happy hours up there because it's been so hot out. But we have tremendous amount of people coming that are residents and that are hotel guests. Hotel guests do see it and they come down. But we do respect our neighbors, and we have an up-to-date policy that they can come talk to us anytime. And we are not a top ownership that does not want to work inside the community. We want to be an A-plus anchor operation that drives a lot of people downtown that wouldn't normally go downtown or see downtown and be able to visit those hotels and also maybe become residents. So I think we have an outstanding relationship with the community down there. I've certainly investigated that during this process. We did operate incorrectly. It was my suggestion to have a shorter plan for us, to be honest. I have no problem with anybody coming and checking on us. And we have a great buffet right now that we do. It's a great healthy option for downtown. And I hope you guys can do it sometime on the support of it. There was a slight change of the peace officers being at 10 o'clock instead of 5. But it's not needed. It's a big expense. Other than that, I'm for it. Thank you very much.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No further speakers. Mr. Mayor?
Thank you. I'll entertain motions. Ms. Hunt?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a question for staff, please. David, was there a reason, while you're walking up, was there a reason that security was requested starting from 5 o'clock rather than typically when we require security for
for clubs or these types of uses at 10?
I don't recall a specific reason why that was in the conditions originally. I think it was just anticipation of, you know, when the business would open. But you know, typically this type of establishment probably doesn't really get too busy until the other hours.
And to the point that the gentleman from the office made about outdoor speakers, have we put in restrictions prohibiting either outdoor speakers or live music on
Yes, live music is just prohibited anytime. Outside speakers are need to be off by 11 p.m. In other words, you can only have outside speakers between 11 a.m. and 11 p.m.
Okay, we don't need outdoor speakers. We don't need outdoor speakers. And you can come back next time. I think you're really lucky that I'm even supporting this SUP, as I told you, because we've had some violations there. And so we're not going to do outdoor speakers. You come back in 6 months is when it's required here for your SUP. You prove that you're being a good neighbor. You're operating within the restrictions, and we'll reconsider that. But at this point, we've got a hotel next door, and 11 o'clock is too late. So, colleagues, I'm going to move to approve the CPC recommendation with the following change, that no outdoor speakers or live music is permitted, and that security must be provided after 10 p.m., not 5 p.m. Thank you.
Okay, the motion in 2 seconds. Any discussion? Questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Except for Ms. Grayson, who voted no. You go. Sorry, I watched better.
Thank you. Item number 81 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding consideration of amendments to Chapter 51A of the Dallas Development Code to amend Section 51A-4.702. Amending requirements for development plans and construction plans for planned development districts and procedures for minor amendments to development plans and landscape plans and an ordinance granting the amendment. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in favor of the CPC, in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Entertain motion. We're on item 81.
The CPC, the staff and CPC recommendation to approve.
We have a first and second. We just need one, right? Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
I did have one question.
Yes, Ms. Hartwell.
Could I have David Cawson come up?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, David. Thank you. Can you just give me a synopsis of what this essentially does?
Sure. This was proposed amendments to the processing of minor amendments to development plans that was intended to ensure notification when there's residential adjacency. If there was not a residential adjacency and it met all the other qualifications for minor amendments, then it could go without the public notice process, which is the way historically it's been up until about 5 years ago. And also provided for administrative relief for certain very minor changes to the development plans.
Do we know why it was changed 5 years ago?
I think there was one particular issue that had come up, and again, that was mostly as a result of an improvement that was made to an institutional property backing up to a residential neighborhood that's probably within 20 feet of that residential neighborhood. We've maintained that same protection within this proposed change.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Hassel. Next
item. Thank you. Item number 82 is a benefit assessment hearing to receive comments on street paving, storm drainage, water and wastewater main improvements for State Route 06-453, and at the close of the hearing, authorize an ordinance levying benefit assessments and a construction contract for Chicago Paving Company, lowest responsible bidder of 7.
$987,054. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item that was just read into the record? Any speakers on the item that was just read into the record? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain the motion. Mr. Grano.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move to approve item, agenda item number 82.
We have a second. Any questions? Comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion is carried.
Item number 83 is a benefit assessment hearing to receive comments on street paving, storm drainage, water, and wayside main improvements for street group 06-454, and at the close of the hearing, authorize an owner's living benefit assessment under construction contract with Mount Mahoney Contracting LP, lowest responsible bidder of 8, not to exceed $1,952,203. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item that was just read into the record? Any speakers on the item that was just read into the record? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain motion, Mr. Padang.
Yes, Mayor. I'd like to move to agenda item number 83.
Your second, Ms. Davis? Is that Ms. Davis? It was Ms. Coop?
Yes.
Ms. Coop. Any discussion questions? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 84 is a public hearing regarding a proposal for ending ordinance changing the name of Impala Lane between Stillman Street on the northwest and Quality Lane on the southeast to Theater Way. We do have one individual signed up to speak on this item, Linda Gross.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members. My name is Lisa Schreiner-Goss with Dallas Children's Theater at 5938 Stillman Street, Dallas, 75231. Dallas Children's Theater's facility, the Rosewood Center for Family Arts, and the D. and Charles Riley Family Garden has played a major role in the Stillman Corridor TIF District efforts to upgrade and develop the area. Near the south entrance to the corridor, and it enhances the gateway. We are requesting the small side street off of Stillman, currently named Impala, be changed to Theater Way. The car dealerships that used to be behind us are no longer there, so Theater Way brings consistency to the area. And also, being a nonprofit organization, marketing dollars are very tight, and we love the visibility that this would bring, especially with the development on the other side of Stillman with Timber Creek now. We've also requested quality in our original request to be changed to Theater Way as well to get some visibility off the Northwest Highway. Since that time, we have learned that two streets on a 90-degree angle may not be possible to extend the name for that, but also we've understood that there's some opposition because whoever will be developing the area behind us might want to destroy the street. Of course, we don't want street signs created that would just have to be taken down. This is not a time to waste money on anybody's budget. But our main concern now is not being blocked in should that occur, should the street be taken down. We're happy to negotiate whether the main Theater Way would extend beyond what is now Impala, but ultimately, you know, could be a very big traffic problem for us if we only have one entryway in and out of our facility, but also it's a safety issue to only have one. So we're happy to leave that under advisement so we can negotiate with the current or the new person developing the property behind us about what would happen with quality. So thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak on the item?
Dallas Cobbleman on Jackson Street, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. We represent the owners of the old Stakely site, which is bisected by Quality. We certainly recommend that you pass this. I think it's great. We really recognize that the Children's Theater has done a great job holding down that area. And so with the Stakely site now potentially in play with some large-scale development, abandoning Quality might would allow us to have a more than 20-acre track where we could do some major redevelopment there. So we're certainly very supportive of Impala being changed and plan to submit for abandonment on Quality so that street won't be there in the future. But we will try to work with them as best we can to provide them some sort of access in the future that could be incorporated into a development. But
you've got to find a major developer that wants to go there and do that first. So we'll come back to you with that in the future. So thank you. We appreciate it and enjoyed working with the theater folks. Appreciate it.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak on the item? Any other speakers? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Cadang.
Sure. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you for coming down and speaking on that. We waited a while to get that done. And hopefully the developer will work with us on an ingress and egress to our property. And I've talked with them, and they assure me they will talk with us to see if we can't get something done there so we do have access to those place. But I would like to move approval of agenda item number 84. And first I'd like to find out, and Ryan would know, maybe David would. Okay. How quickly can we get that street up?
Oh, Mr. Kennedy, it doesn't usually take it from the street for five, it's more than about 6 weeks.
Oh, good, okay. Thank you. Governor Nelson, move approval.
Thank you, Mr. Askin. Second, any questions, discussions? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We proceed now, we go backwards to item number 73. Item number 73 was corrected on the addendum. A public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development district for NSA Neighborhood Service District uses, and an ordinance granting a B1 liquor control overlay, and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a restaurant without drive-in or drive-through service on property zoned in NSA Neighborhood Service District for the liquor control overlay within the Tract S portion of Historic District Overlay Number H. 128 on the east corner of Virginia Street and Henderson Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, within 109 notices, property owners from 500 feet of the request, we received 22 replies in favor and 26 replies in opposition.
Mr. Mayor, for the record, this item is the supersede recommendation is to approve the planned development district subject to development planning conditions, retention of the B liquor control overlay, and denial of a specific use permit. If the SEP and the B1 are to be approved, that will require a two-quarter vote.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any individuals in the audience? Well, actually, we do have quite a number of individuals on the family on the suggestion time.
So let's have 10 minutes for and 10 minutes in opposition. Is that what we need to do here? Ms. Hyman.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. I don't think we'll need that much time during the interim, and I appreciate your giving us this time to address this issue. During the interim, I think the neighborhood and the applicant have come to an agreement, so I think we could just have one speaker from each side, if that's all right.
That's a good idea. Let's have one speaker for 3 minutes
So the individual that is speaking in opposition of the CPC recommendation again to approve the plan development district to for the retention of the biblical control area and denial of the specific use permit.
I'm just very much a member of the council, I call by 3301 Elm. Actually, I don't think either of us are actually speaking in opposition at this point. I believe both the applicant and the neighbors are in favor of the Planning Commission recommendation with certain changes that have been worked out between that time and I think today. So what we'll be asking the council to do is approve the plan development, deny the FUP, but in the plan development there are a few changes to the one that was originally passed by the Planning Commission, and I believe that's consistent with where you're at. Yes, so the changes would be from what is in the Planning Commission. Our recommendation is we would delete the hours of operation for the restaurant use.
And Roger, let me interrupt you, because if you'll just read this offline, I'm going to have to read this
great
into the record.
Super. All we would ask is that you follow Planning Commission recommendation with those changes. Thank you.
Could the next speaker please step forward?
Thank you. Yes.
State your name and address for the record, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Joanna Hampton, 548 Swift Avenue. I'm speaking in support of the City Planning Commission recommendation with the proposed revisions. I want to thank Councilmember Hunt for her leadership on this issue and the applicant for their time in meeting with the community. We appreciate the support shown by the council today and denial of the rumors of the overlay, and would ask that those of us who come down to support to abstain. The provisions that we have now agreed to address fundamentally the community concerns, some of the adjacent residents back up. The PDD is primarily now addressing parking relief that is needed for an older historic building. The immediate neighbors will suffer a bit of a burden on this, but we as a community can support this request. Thank you.
Thank you.
Virginia McAllister, 5703 Swift Avenue. And I want to thank you all for the motion you folks are going to make, but I want to give a lot of credit for something that most people don't know exists in East Dallas, which is the Genius Heights area with the Garden Cafe and Munger Park that is basically the Kids Bishop Art District. And there's a children's clothing store, there's mother child yoga, there is the science lab, the children's courses, there's a daycare center, there's an organic garden that you can take your kids to, and then there is a huge park that City Development funds paid for. And so when you don't have the pressure of a DOL removed, and you don't have what you all have been sitting through all afternoon, you can actually do something very unique and family-oriented in the 5300 block of Genius, and I hope that you all and everybody that listens in will come. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers on the item? Not for the speaker, questionnaire.
Thank you. I entertain a motion, Ms. Hunt. Would you kind of explain, took all this and bounce up first?
And again, I want to thank you for letting us move this to the end of today's hearing. The Garden Cafe is just an amazing cafe situated in the middle of a residential neighborhood, Genius Heights, and it has been a tremendous asset to the community. What they've requested is a couple of things. One is a planned development district that will, as Joanna said, will primarily address parking issues, but they also requested the removal of one of our city's dry overlays. And the challenge we have with that is twofold. One, if you remove a dry overlay which prohibits alcohol sales, we can never get it back. We can never put it back. Once it's gone, it's gone. The state of Texas said they got full authority on that and we can't re-implement that. And so the challenge we have is that while the Garden Cafe is terrific, there are still some short-term issues in removing a de-overlay and some long-term issues. The short-term issues relate to the folks who live directly around the Garden Cafe, which if you look at your zoning forms, they were pretty uniformly opposed to the removal of the de-overlay. And I think that's really because that would create a more intense use. Right now we have a terrific little neighborhood cafe. If it became more intense and served alcohol every evening, I think we would see a lot more parking issues, a lot more traffic issues right in a single-family neighborhood. This isn't Lower Greenville or Henderson. This is truly just a strip of two or three businesses surrounded by single-family homes. But there are longer-term issues, because I think Dale would be a very good neighbor, and I think he'd stand by his word. In the longer term, the fact is, zoning goes with the land. It doesn't go with Dale. And the challenge we have, again, if we remove the de-overlay, we could have a tenant in the future that would have alcohol sales that wouldn't be quite as responsible as Dale is. And that's the concern. And I've also seen over the last 6 years that I've been here that when you change zoning, the next person that comes in always asks for a little bit more. And so I would fear that if we remove the de-overlay, even with restrictions that were proposed, the next person who may own that property would come in and want a little bit more. And that could start to erode this very precious neighborhood that has some, I think, a tremendous asset in the strip of businesses. And I want to thank Dale and his son Mark for working together with the neighborhood leadership in trying to address this in a very smart and compromising way. So with that, I move to close the public hearing and approve the CPC recommendation of PD number 859 with the following changes. Number one, delete the hours of operation for the restaurant use. Number two, height, unless further restricted in this subsection, maximum structure height is 35 feet for a structure with a gable hip or gabled roof, and 30 feet for any other structure. Number three, stories. Maximum number of stories is two. Parking garages are exempt from this requirement but must comply with the height regulations. Number four, delete C, quote, garden under the additional provisions. And the CPC recommendation was also to deny removal of the dry overlay and deny the SUP. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
For the first, Mr. McGovern seconded. Any questions? Ms. Vagana?
Thank you very much, and Ms. Hunt, thank you very much for working with the community. I went Sunday to have breakfast there, and as I often do, and it is just a wonderful place. And then right after breakfast, you can take, you know, your kids just right across the street to the playground. It is always commendable that that the applicant and the community that's just adjacent to the community work out these deals. So Ms. Hunt, thank you very much for your leadership, and we'll see you soon, Dale.
Any other comments, questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. I'm going to also recognize Ms. Hunt and Mr. Drana working through these areas that are, you know, we want the right sort of growth, but we want to make sure our neighbors are taken care of, and we do it in keeping with that, the devils and details in these things. And thank you for your effort. This is an important part of Dallas, and we want to make sure that it's right for families and residents and business as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We proceed now to the remaining speakers from this morning, as well as your afternoon speakers. The first speaker will be Adam Mandel, followed by Cynthia Salina Dewey. Individuals will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer at the podium. Please state your name and address for the record and refer your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Again, the first speaker is Adam Mandel, not present. Cynthia Salina Dewey. Joe Bertillo will follow Una Santino, Philip Lucero, and then Laura Schleck. Again, the speaker is Cynthia Salina Dewey at this point in time. Thank you. Please proceed.
Good afternoon. My name is Cynthia Salina Dewey. I live at 726 South Clinton Avenue, and I'm here to speak on behalf of Quest Dallas. First, I want to thank you, members of the City Council, for your previous financial support for Quest Dallas. You helped us secure funds that allowed us to leverage $400,000 of state money directed to the North Texas area. I also want to update you on Quest Dallas. The program is now 1 year old. Currently, we met and surpassed the enrollment requirement of 120 participants. Like Mr. Westfall, from whom you heard this morning, we have 130 participants enrolled in Dallas County Community Colleges receiving long-term high skills training that will allow them to earn a minimum of $16 per hour in jobs with benefits and a career path. In terms of economic development, every dollar invested in Quest brings $13.91 in return, not to mention the impact on the lives of the participants and their families as they become self-sustaining and productive. That's the good news. The challenge, however, is that we have a waiting list of 125 persons who also seek to better their lives. Our leaders had to contact these persons personally to let them know we are at capacity and they will have to wait a year to participate. The need for long-term high skills training for jobs with benefits and a career path is enormous. We are requesting $50,000 to expand our program and ask for your continuing financial support for Quest Dallas. Thank you.
The next speaker is Joe Berkman.
One of the things from a few days ago when I saw the paper, I was shocked, and I heard what the mayor said earlier. I went to quite a few of the redistricting hearings, and my precinct, where I've been precinct chairman now for 40 years this year, the homes are 61 years old. That precinct, for the first time ever in the new redistricting map, it is the only precinct in the redrawing of the new precinct lines where you cross over two freeways to take in my one little precinct and put us in District 4. It is not a compact district when you come over and take in a district that was originally in District 3, has always been basically in what is in District 3. It would make a lot more sense to put it in District 1, which is right next to it, which runs right up 2 hours. This is just one little tiny precinct, a sliver, that the Lavendilla Freeway and Oral Point come together. You come across two freeways there to take in that one little precinct, which is 87% Hispanic, and put it in District 4. I think Mr. Carraway is a great council member, but the community of interest is a Hispanic precinct. It is one that has grown from when the houses were built in 1950, from being 100% Anglo, to, as a city, the demographics have changed tremendously. And extension 3518, it simply needs to be, now that District 3 has been moved over, it needs to be part of District 1. It doesn't need to cross over two freeways to take in that one more precinct. And I would tell you that I really, the overall process, I wasn't very pleased with it. But considering the city was 42% Hispanic, 28.8% Anglo, and 25% Hispanic, they call these two new districts opportunity districts. They're not opportunity districts. There is no way in District 3, which I'm part of, only 13% of the residents are Anglo. Yet we had two Anglos running for that seat. It's just, and Scott's a great representative, and I'm really cheerleader, but it just doesn't make sense. Those districts should have been drawn much better to better represent the Hispanic community, which is probably actually closer to 50%, because I don't think a lot of the people were counted in that census. And I just think that a much better job could have been done of putting together these districts. We're still going to probably have three Hispanic representatives, even though they're 32% of the population grows. And I just don't think that is truly represented. It should have at least been 4 or 5. And I'm very disappointed in the way it turned out. I do think it was drawn to protect the incumbents, and that's just politics as usual. But like I say, I hope when the council reviews it, that y'all do a little better job of maybe making those lines for those districts. Don't have to wait 8 years for those two new districts to become Hispanic districts. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Gregg.
I just want to take a moment and thank the Honorable Mr. Berkowitz for all his service as a precinct chair over the last 40 years. It's an incredible time to be involved in the community of Dallas, year in and year out. So I just want to recognize you today for coming down for that service and for your service. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Ernest Portman.
Yuna, thank you, I apologize.
I'm Yuna Portman.
Ms. Portman, would you pull that mic down? There you go.
My name is Yuna Portman, 747 Cedarwood Drive, Cedar Hill. Mayor Rowley and the council members. One of your goals, Mayor, when you're doing a campaign, was to be of the southern sector of Dallas. And my concern is, why is the McCormick landfill taking on more garbage or trash in Dallas? Why are you trashing our neighborhood in the southern sector of Dallas? I am from the southern sector. I don't know as much survey or tests have been done, but the landfill is not improving our quality of life. I read in the paper there it may bring resources, dollars and cents to the city, to the southern sector. But we already have a high health rate of kidney disease. We have sugar diabetes, and I myself is under doctor care. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
The next speaker is Jared McBain.
Jared McBain, 1126 Cable Creek, Red Vine, Texas. Mr. Mayor, council members, the proposed budget plan by the city manager's office as relates to the Dallas Fire Department is a disaster in the making. To reduce minimum staffing in fire dispatch and remove a frontline truck is playing Russian roulette with public safety. I've spoken with many of you personally, and a lot of you say you don't know what minimum staffing is, but let me give you an example. If you're at Walmart, and you're the manager of Walmart, and you have six cashiers, and you decide you want to save money, you're going to reduce staffing from six to four. Are you going to save money doing that? Certainly. But in the end, you have long wait times, disgruntled customers, and some of those customers are going to go elsewhere. So then you can question, did you really save money doing that? As it relates to fire dispatch, under this proposed schedule change, it's veiled in there that we can reduce the minimum staffing that we currently have. So in that example I gave you with Walmart, the same thing. If a mother calls 911 because she has a choking baby, in this instance, she's going to have long hold times, but she cannot take her business elsewhere. All she can do, the only option that she has, is to sit there and wait. Now, I'm dumbing this down because it gets kind of complicated, but it's my understanding that the bottom line for this schedule change is that we're going to save, or the city will save, $1 million. The only way the city can save that money is not through overtime that you guys have been told, but through reduced minimum staffing, which I don't know that you've been informed on that. And so the only way that $1 million can be realized is by reducing the staffing in fire dispatch. We're already one of the busiest dispatch centers in the United States. We have 6,500 calls per dispatcher per year. I don't know if the magic number is 8,000 or 10,000 that we need to get to, but at a certain point there's going to be a breaking point when the service that we provide to citizens of Dallas has been reduced. And so each of you has made a commitment to your neighborhoods and to the citizens of Dallas to protect them and do the best that you can for them. And in this instance, by voting for this budget, you're doing them a grave disservice. And I would just ask you, what do you say to the citizens when they call you and ask you about long hold times? What do you say to the citizens when they call you and complain about delayed response to ambulance and fire equipment? And lastly, what do you say when citizens call you and ask you about the minutes lost because of this reduced staffing and maybe there's a life lost because of those extra minutes while that caller is on hold? I know this is a complicated issue. When I talk to many of you privately, you say you don't understand what the reduced staffing is, and there's 56 dispatchers and 48. There's a lot of things convoluted. But we're available if any of you want to meet with us. But please don't vote for this. A vote no for this is a vote for the citizens in your district. A vote yes, you're doing your constituents a great disservice. Thank you very much. Thank you.
The next speaker is Laura Speck, and I apologize if I mispronounced your last name.
That's okay. That happens quite frequently. My name is Laura Zuchek, and I reside at 721 Palm Beaufort in Garland. Mr. Mayor, council members, I am here in opposition to the proposed change in the schedule of fire communications as well. There will be no cost savings, as implied by the city manager's office. Instead, you may cost the lives of the very citizens you represent. If you choose to vote to alter the schedule and lessen the number of trained fire communications personnel, you will cause delays in emergency services. For almost 10 years, I have been a firefighter with Dallas Fire Rescue Department. The first half of my career, I answered emergency calls on an engine or ambulance. Among the many things I've done, I've birthed babies, performed CPR, and helped people in their time of need. For the second half of my career, I have been a dispatcher in fire communications. Among the many things I've done, I've birthed babies, performed CPR, and helped people in their time of need. What I have learned from my career in the fire service is that seconds count in emergency situations. A blazing house fire does not wait for firefighters to arrive. It destroys a person's home, his memories, and possibly his life in a matter of minutes. A heart attack does not subside prior to the arrival of paramedics, carrying life-saving medications, which can stop it in its tracks. Before a citizen can receive help, they must first call 911. Then someone has to be there to answer that call and render aid. Right now we have 10 people at any given time to do just that. As the city's population grows, we will need more to keep up with the increasing call volume. Yet you are about to vote on decreasing the number of fire dispatchers to be there on the other end of those crucial calls for emergency help. I am here to ask you not to allow this to happen. If you choose to vote to change the schedule in fire communications, you will not be serving the citizens of Dallas, but instead the agenda of the city manager's office. I took an oath to serve the citizens of Dallas, as all of you did. So I challenge you to do the right thing by them now. Thank you.
The next speaker is Verity McLean. Verity McLean. Not present. Michael Andrew Matchfoot. Not present. Elijah McGrew. Not present. We proceed now to your afternoon speakers, and I will recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other residents attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the financial propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or foundish remarks or who become boisterous or addressing the City Council, or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the compliment arms is addressed by the presiding officer. And the person shall be brought from private audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Again, individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. The first speaker is Marvin Quinshaw. Not present. Emma P. Hall.
Good afternoon. I come before you to speak out of concern for the people in certain areas of the city who may be experiencing a downgrade in the quality of life and quality of education. Funding for the City Arts Program has decreased from $200,000 in the early 2000s to $30,000, which is expected to cover 33 artists who work under that particular umbrella. And there were more artists, but because of the decrease in these funds, this caused the artists to decrease. Because many of them had to take jobs that will no longer afford them an opportunity to share their time and the way they work. And they have to earn a living. They're not getting enough. It's a small pie And when you cut that small pie, like a cookie, and when you cut that up so tiny, and some people are getting short changed. I am in the hall. I live at 3202 O'Bannon, and at the corner of Polk and O'Bannon in South Oakland. I taught school here. I have a daughter who teaches school here now at PG Perry. And I have always been concerned about the education of our children. I'm concerned that if the people who do not have an opportunity to be exposed to and participate in the arts, that this will cause a decrease in their quality of education and in the quality of their lives. Education is of utmost importance because our young people will help Dallas to grow, maintain what it already has grown into, and to grow into something more. So, I came out of concern that the funds do not continue to drop, and it's as all possible that they could increase so we can maintain the status and the standard of living and the quality of life that we have. No longer are a lot of artists able to go into the...
Thank you, Ms. Paul. I'm sorry, your
time
is up.
Thank you.
Pardon? Your speaking time is up, Ms. Paul. We need to proceed now to the next speaker.
I'm sorry, your three minutes is up.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Melody Dow. Not present, William Hopkins. Not present, Albert Cicciarelli.
Robert Cicciarelli, 5302 Harry Hines Boulevard. Mr. Curry, I'm going to speak next week about the editorial about the housing project, but I'm going to speak about the Women's Lions Coalition meeting that came last Friday. Mr. Carraway mentioned to me about the meeting and where he's going to be at. He was a no-show. I called Ms. Davis's office up yesterday, and they said they were there at the 7th floor, executive assistant, I believe, Ms. Davis, and they couldn't find it. It was a change to the 5th floor, but nobody showed up.
Ms. Carraway, we had a situation last week. If you can address all your comments to me.
Okay, sir.
Thank you.
I just want to know, sir, Mary Rollins, I have complete support from Michael Allen from the Salvation Army. There's a meeting October 7th, okay? And he really encouraged me to invite the homeless to the meeting, right? Last Friday, there were 6 homeless people, and a fight on this book out between homeless and the person from the place in Steagerville, one of the shelters. Now, they spoke up about the bridge. They trashed the bridge. And nobody showed up. Joe Dunn never showed up. Mike D'Angelo never showed up. I talked to Joe Dunn for an hour and a half yesterday. And he was very, very discouraging about going there. I just asked him to go to the back and mention your name and who you are. So, this is very important. Important people, Ms. Hunt, Ms. Davis, they need to show up. All right, because there's going to be a lot more homeless people this time, maybe 100, 150. You need to go to another place. And I'm very despondent why nobody knows about this meeting. And I talked to Mr. Johnny's office. They're very discouraging. They keep on hanging up on me, being very, very unprofessional, and don't care. I'm very concerned again that nobody is interested in coming to this meeting because it was very, very important. The homeless are going to be speaking out, and we need you to come for the homeless to be motivated and excited about their possibilities. If you don't show up, the homeless at the meeting are going to be very, very mad and going to be very, very ticked, okay? But I'm why Jay Gunn and Mike Fianzo don't show up? Mike Fianzo was supposed to speak to us. He didn't show up. He was out of town. Jay Gunn was on vacation. And I'm very, very discouraging that no one is interested in meetings. And Ms. Davis, I'm just saying to you, okay, I'm just trying to try to say this. It's very important, Ms. Hunt, to go there to apologize to the homeless about them being bummed, okay? And I'm going to be speaking again, but I said, Michael Allen's got my full support, and he'll tell you what happened after a meeting, Mr. Rollins. I know you know him very personally. I'll be speaking about it much more. And Mr. Garner, please tell yourself that
you're right.
Thank you, Mr. President. The next speaker is Sandra Crenshaw, not present, Trina Trish, Frank Webb, your fellow Ms. Trish, and then Ovenda Lunt.
Good afternoon, Trina Trish. Next to Trina Trish, you will inform the Trina Trish Teaching Minister, Dallas, Texas. Frederick K. Price is a mega minister in Los Angeles. When he started out, they would not let him teach Sunday school in his church because he didn't go to seminary. Just now, I was told that her husband should be the teacher, that she shouldn't be the teacher, and then she was kicked out of her church because she had the audacity to be a woman preacher. Joe Lightstein was getting ridiculed and everything else, but he would not be able to sustain Newport. He also did not go to seminary. Nevertheless, I see in the word that if God be for you, he's more than the world against you. People have their ideas what they want you to do, but nevertheless, you do what God has called you to do. And I pray when I say this, I'm going to be talking about the city council rules of procedures really quickly. At the beginning of each city council meeting, the mayor shall announce the schedule for votes and lunch to be taken during the meeting. The chair shall state all questions submitted for a vote and announce the results. A city attorney shall attend all meetings of the city council upon request, give an opinion, and a question as well. A person registered to speak on a voting item other than public hearing will be called on at the time the item is considered by the city council. Subject to police restraints set forth in subsection 6-1. A person registered to speak on multiple voting items must speak on all items at the time the first item is called to speak. The most recent edition of Robert's Rules of Order revised shall govern the proceedings of the city council in all cases unless they are in conflict with the rules. I have here where I have taken my time to come to the council meeting, and if you see, it takes a lot of time. I see any of these people you keep calling. I hope the papers run it. Here I am, a copy of August 24th, and also today, when I set to speak on agenda items, that if I don't speak, you can't vote because it's illegal. But there is the FBI and everything. And both times I see that I'm listed as speaker number 7. What a coincidence. This is my third hour for my bus pass to go to the FBI. There are organizations like the NAACP and also the AFL-CIO that are put together to take care of my rights as a citizen, even though I do have a legal defense fund that is in operations right now. Let's see about that.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker is Frank Ward.
Hello, the guy. Good afternoon. My name is Frank Ward.
for some of you that have been around over the years have heard me say a lot of things. Some you may agree or disagree, approve or not approve, like or dislike. However, I am prepared to do it all over again. I got at least 20, 30 years in me to do just that. The scripture for today will come from, let me just say, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank the young lady that spoke before me, Ms. Trina Trish, who spoke the truth, and which is something that we don't really get today. People basically do like they want to do. Even in church, people don't necessarily read the Bible anymore. They just take the preacher's word to it. I can't do a minute of warming up, but you had something on the city issue you want to talk about? If it's not open night, on city issues.
On city issues?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this is a city issue.
Good, great.
Okay. But I'd like to read my scripture.
Please,
tell them
please.
I can read my scripture.
Okay.
It comes from St. John, the Gospel of John, 16th chapter, 13th verse. It reads, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall speak not of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things come." I met you more a few weeks back for the first time. I understand that you're a businessman. And I have tried to meet with more before, but it hasn't happened. Last week I heard Cosmo Carver speak about a plan. If you had a plan, you were talking about the landfill. But there has been a plan. There also in my community there was a plan, a development plan. It went very wrong. It fell in the wrong hands, the wrong right. And then it fell into some right hands, the wrong right. And from that point on, people have been trying to make wrong right. I would like to have the opportunity to share with you. I have extended a discussion, been able to talk to the council people over the years. I have provided a plan that would help the economy, help the city of Dallas get a grip on things, you know, the economy, that would create jobs, that would create development, that would put people to work and all of that. And with sincerity, this is true. There is a group, different types in this city that pretty much try to make a call on who succeeds in this city and who gets to do what in this city. And I know that you probably may have been informed about me, and
no.
It's not like ever that you don't take me for granted.
No,
so
I will not, but you're 30 seconds of the time now.
But you did put into my time.
I did, about 2 seconds of it, so. I'm asking, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. The speaker this afternoon is the number one.
I have a problem since 2004, and I've not been involved yet, and I've been trying to get involved. Well, I may have been a jail, a juvenile, they put attention to the world, and I'm going to tell you that. But what I do want to say without the handout from you all, I'm down here today because of Officer Jay Albert, who's a BAP police officer. And I asked for his reference for his complaints and recommends against him as a BAP police officer. and I can't get them. I asked them on the food information. I'm sure I have a copy of that. Notarized and everything and I asked for the audio video of the incident. I couldn't get a video, they said, and I got an audio. It was erased from the front, from the back, and in between, little. Things that I said, they played with it. But now, if they don't give me the record, that's the thing that got transpired, if I can't get. So, what I'm saying is that is a mess. I wrote that as a deed, as a police department. What a good transportation. But I have to wait them a deed for the DAP police. And I really don't think this is what do together. I think it should be a separate entity. I think this is what DAP police, I mean, transit police and the DAP. Because we can tell you people that today, and we should not be messed over as citizens. I was more wrong, abusive, and offensive, and disrespectful as a person that I recommend my child do. I don't mess with nobody. I'm not an object, and I like being messed with. I'm sure you all the same way. I think he's like Willie Lynch. I understand that he's the man that crime people and they want to straighten him up. So I'm going to tell the black and the Spanish, you better look out for ADDOPP, DAP 35. And if you want to kill me, do it. If you want to Jesus Christ, do it. I'm not afraid to die. I could have died in Vietnam. I could have died in my trance operation. They gave me 3 more years. You know what? But you know what? Much of me, God done much with you. So all these guys that came to get me in 2004, and the 40,000 of the total believe and stuff, they're all going out of crooks. And so God tell me, so let me go. But in general, in keeping it real, I pray every day, 24/7, and I'm not my own business, I don't mess with nobody. I'm a piece of the man. I just want you to leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. Thank you. God bless you all. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more business before the council? Hearing 9 square 6, Councilman Virginia.